Hello, folks, and welcome to the August 27th episode, number 3, The Triple Threat. But there's 4 of us this week. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm number 51 of the top 50 superstars, Crater. Big Boy Dave Mania is back.
And it's the guy that's hung like a squirrel, but all in your girl, and feeding her hot sauce until she hurls the legendary Ronk, pumping you up full of semen, leaving all the girlies dreaming. Russell Lennon. John Lennon's dead, but I'm not. Rudder.
Poor John Lennon.
That was totally Joe Gertner.
That's why he went last, because nobody could fucking follow that.
That's true. Whatever happened to Joel Gertner, by the way? My God.
God, he was excellent.
I would love to see Russ wearing like a neck brace like Joel Gertner.
There you go. That gives you some ideas for Cinema Wasteland coming up.
Could you imagine if your life was not having to physically get in the ring and just draw heat, if you could naturally do that? Because, like, I'm on a fucking internet show, and, like, I can antagonize or whatever, but I don't know if I can do that in a fucking ring. That has to be the best life ever, to be a Jimmy Hart, Bobby Heenan type of character. And Joel Gertner had that, but he was in a lesser promotion at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a bunch more.
Do you think Joel Gertner had the kind of heat that, like, Rick Rude type of heat, or what?
In a small arena, yeah, but he had the likable... Every prick in there that would like to cut a girl's head off, like misogynistic type thing. Like, I don't. It wasn't totally relatable to the 11-year-old little Jimmy, if you will.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, the ECW crowd. Oh my God, dude, that's a vicious fucking crowd. So I mean, he had to have some fucking balls to go up there and do that. You know what I mean?
I think after a while, though, it came. Like, everybody sort of loved it. Like, it became like they just couldn't wait on what he would say next. It seemed that way to me. But, yeah, early on, I mean, some of those people, like, especially in the Philadelphia, the ECW arena, yeah, some of those people didn't look like they were all there anyway, yeah. So.
It's kind of like when you go to, like, one of these indie events, especially, well, I mean, you guys know Crater and CK, you know, around this area, the mountain area.
These mountain folk.
When the wrestling event comes to town, you get all sorts of people just comes out of their hole, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's nuts.
That's why they always
have
them.
Yeah, they fucking come out of the woodwork. It's like, I've never seen, I mean, I live around here, and I go to these local events, and it's like, these people come out of the fucking woodwork, and I'm like, I've never seen these people in this area in my fucking life.
But you see them at wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I got him to see BCW, by God.
Well, they just got their check. And they got their food stamps in so they could buy themselves, you know, some cheese and beer. So, you know, they're ready. They're ready for a wild weekend.
That's right.
So, anyway, is Runk still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. This particular show, we were talking about, I guess, for last week, that we're going to dissect the 50 superstars of all time, the top 50 superstars of all time list that the WWE came out with last year for their DVD. But also, though, I know Runk has, like, a question or two that somebody asked on the YouTube page. We're going to talk about that. We actually have some other news topics that I thought would be interesting to, I don't think we want to talk about Raw this week. I mean, what, do you guys have any opinion on Raw real quick?
It seems like it got a little
interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like, the stuff with Kevin Nash was kind of weird. It just fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like Raw kind of had like a weak ending and this is just kind of a week overall, like, you know, this past Monday.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the whole Nash situation, I think it's just kind of, you know, just kind of blew its load. Actually, the very first week he appeared.
Yeah, it seemed like he was totally unprepared, like, both occasions. Like, I don't know if it was just CM Punk that completely, you know, showed him up on the mic, or that he was just so nervous because he hadn't been in such a large audience in that long period of time. It's been probably about 7 or 8 years, I guess, since he'd been in WWE. So maybe he's a little intimidated by the size of the crowd. I mean, it's not one of those deals where they're in like 2,000 seat, you know, little venues with like TNA and stuff. This was like a larger scale, so maybe he was a little bit taken back by it.
Yeah, I don't know the whole thing about why they booked him. Like, he has amazing size. When he's next to Triple H, he looked like a giant. So I just don't think how they ever looked at his mic skills when they thought it'd be an interesting product against CM Punk. Like, I thought it was pretty cool when it first happened. I think they should have really sped things up, amped the intensity, but I don't see where it's going to go if they don't even have the guys fight each other other than Nash punched him in the head the other day.
Yeah, I don't know where the match is going to go. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's going to be a pretty fucking horrible match. I mean, if anything, like, they could have brought X-Pac in there, and I would think that those two, CM Punk and X-Pac, could have had a pretty damn good match.
Dude, I love X-Pac. I stick up from crazy. I'm like an X-Pac enthusiast when it comes to his wrestling analysis videos on realxpac.com. I think he's a real cool dude, but doesn't he have hepatitis C?
I think he does.
Yeah.
I think he openly has that. What do you do?
Can I tell a funny story real quick about how I met X-Pac?
Sure.
I met X-Pac over in Logan, West Virginia, last October or November, and he was just doing a random signing over there, and it was in a movie theater of all places, and he was just there from 6 to 8 p.m., and when we got over there, there was nobody there to see him at all whatsoever.
And that's awesome.
So we just stood there and talked to him forever, and he was just so grateful that we came all that way just to meet him and talk to him.
I think he seems like the dude that would have been just as grateful, like, just seeing how his personality is in the videos, like, and how he is about the business. And I hate when certain people shit on him, like, about his pattern of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, because he's not a retarded person. But and how much he's did for little guys, and how many people embrace little guys nowadays, I just think it's crazy how many people shit on him.
Yeah. Because I was a huge fan of him, like around 98, 99, when he was like the European champion in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a huge fan. Even before that, you know, when he was 6 in the NWO over in WCW, or when he was 1-2-3 Kid, because, like, one of the best matches he ever had was when he was 1-2-3 Kid against Bret Hart, you know, in the early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, though, that the match with CM Punk and X-Pac would at least, if it was just a one-time thing, I mean, I'm sure that they wouldn't have an issue, you know, for just a one-match deal. I mean, even if the guy does have Hep C, I mean, it's not one of those deals where they're going to just fucking blade him like Abdul the Butcher or something.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's a real athletic contest, I mean, because, I mean, believe me, I'm sick enough for the dude, but if you're a wrestler, would you want to wrestle with someone that openly has a blood disease? You know what I mean?
I remember that time where, Bob Orton supposedly had like he exposed blood or something in a match against the Undertaker or something. Do you remember this story, DK?
Seems like I remember hearing something about it, but go on.
Or like he got blood on the Undertaker during a match, something Bob Orton did, and like after the match, like Taker fucking freaked out on him, and because like he had like Bob Orton had some kind of blood disease or something.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really overall. As far as the Raw show goes, I mean, the only other thing I can think of that we could mention on here would be the new tag team, I guess, of R-Truth and The Miz. Like, what do you guys think of that?
Do you guys think that's definite? Like,
I think just so.
It seems
I
like
it.
The thing about the whole promo, like, they didn't try to sell the fact that they were going to go after the title, so.
Well,
I think maybe they're going to start a stable with CM Punk.
That would be decent.
I got to say, I mean, even though I like both of those guys, I just think if they're doing the tag team thing or whatever they're doing, it seems to be a step backwards for both of those guys. I mean, you're putting Miz back in the tag team thing. Like he was doing before, you know, with Jericho and Morrison and Big Show and whoever else he was in tag teams with.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
It's just, yeah. I don't know. I think that the whole song thing they're doing is way too hokey and cheesy for this era. I mean, it's just cheap heat, if you ask me.
The thing about that promo when The Miz was first doing it, like, he didn't use any of his catchphrases. He was just, like, talking to the crowd, antagonizing the crowd, trying to build heat. And then when R-Truth started doing that rap song or whatever, that's when he started doing all the hokey stuff. But I thought he was good until that point. Same with R-Truth.
Yeah, I thought Miz did really well in that promo with, like, you know, just, like, trying to, you know, he was all pissed that, you know, he had, like, they made him do the whole Subway thing the week before and all that shit. I thought it was a really well done promo between the both of them, up until, you know, like you said, you know, before they started doing the little rap song at the end, which was kind of hokey.
Yeah, and I guess
they want to rebuild a tag team division. I think, you know, I think it's kind of good to get some of the bigger guys, like, you know, The Miz and R-Truth. You know, some of the guys that, you know, they have. You know, really, you know, no really big plans for as far as singles competition goes. So I think from what we hear, you know that I guess Triple H or whoever is behind, you know, the company right now. Well, I mean, of course, Vince is the final say so, but I mean, they're wanting to rebuild this whole tag team division. So I'm kind of interested in seeing what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? All I know is, like, it doesn't seem to me like if Vince is still in charge, he supposedly has never really given a shit about tag teams. So, I mean, I don't know what Triple H can really say to make him, you know, think otherwise about it, but we'll just have to wait and see. And I think Raw and SmackDown are, like, back-to-back nights live this coming week, so that'd be pretty cool. I actually watch SmackDown live.
Whoa. What day is SmackDown live?
SmackDown's actually live.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Tuesday.
And some
8.
Of the Raw stars are going to be on there.
Yeah, that's. They always have that. Think about it.
I think
R-Truth and Alberto Del Rio, they all showed up.
Yeah, I think that they should maybe move SmackDown live permanently. I think that would help the show quite a bit, because, like, they're doing that because it's like an experiment just to see how many people would check it out live, as opposed to, because they're airing it, like, taped at the regular time too on Fridays.
Right,
I guess,
like, they announced for the SmackDown Live show that Del Rio is going to be facing Sin Cara, you know, like, whoever it's going to be under in the suit that week.
Well, that kind of leads into the big news of the week. I think I'd heard that Sin Cara, the original Sin Cara that was Mystico or whatever, was supposed to come back on this week's SmackDown, but they evidently sent him home. And they're going to go with Hunico from SCW, the other luchador guy they had, who's been playing him for the past couple of weeks, who kind of sucks. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about him.
You think he sucks in comparison, like, that bad? Difference, like, he sucks.
He's just not
I
as.
He botches a lot, like, way more than what the original Sin Cara, Mystico, you know, did.
All right, well, I'll agree with you guys because I haven't been really analyzing, and I'm sorry if I stepped over your words, Chris. What I want to say is that the only reason this character is being put under the mask is because a T-shirt and youth, the attention the youth gives him. Like, he's a youth-based guy, like Rey Mysterio, except Rey Mysterio has our age fan base, but, I mean, this is a new guy kids love. I mean, my nephew always loved.
Yeah, and the kids won't know. I mean, they can't really tell the difference.
But here's the thing that bothers me about it, like the SmackDown taping. They tape it on Tuesday, and then they'll show the show on Friday night. Like, they'll retape some of the matches or segments at the tapings. Like, they had to do the match between Sin Cara and Heath Slater this past Tuesday, which aired tonight. They had to do it twice this past Tuesday because, like, there were so many botches in the match.
Heath Slater tried to rape him.
Oh, man. You fucking assholes. I had a joke lined up because I didn't think...
I'm sorry, Rock.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Come to town.
He's the one man rapist.
Yeah.
So I guess Sin Cara's going to be like Doink. He's going to always be around now.
Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those characters that'll probably be in WWE like 30 years from now. And they'll like breed new Sin Caras, every 5 years or so and have them ready.
Guys, you just mentioned something, CK, and I just don't think it should ever be a segment for, like, a show. So I just thought I'd, like, mention it real quick. Who's your favorite jobber of all time? I know who mine is, easily.
Favorite jobber of all time. That's a tough one right there. Who now? Jim Powers?
He really probably, he wasn't, no job, back then, jobbers can wrestle.
What about Battle Cat?
Was Battle Cat actually a jobber, or was he a guy they were going to push?
Battle Cat wasn't there long enough to be pushed.
Oh, fuck, I've got one for you. Roadblock. You guys remember Roadblock?
Yeah, I've been watching several matches of him this week on my Nitro DVDs. Like, he lost set to Lex Luger several times.
Yeah, Lex Luger get him in the torture rack.
Oh, was he in the Orlando show, wherever that show was, like the fucking Saturday show?
For a couple of years there, he was on like every show Roadblock was.
Yeah,
Roadblock,
he came out there with a fucking Roadblock on his shoulders.
I remember that dude now.
Well, I was actually trying to talk about good jobbers, so I was going to go with Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, ones that could actually wrestle.
Barry Horowitz.
What about best jobber tag team? My favorite of all time would be Dwayne Gill and Wayne Hardy.
High voltage.
So
Kenny Chaos and Robbie Rage.
Yeah, they'd always like electrocute each other in a very homosexual way. Anyway, though, there's a couple of other stories, like the Ric Flair thing. How many of you guys have looked at that article that was, I guess, just recently came out?
The thing I want to say about it was, like, CK, I mean, like, you were like, oh, we should talk about this on the show, man. It's so fucking depressing, and, like, what you reap is what you sow, whatever the phrase is, but God damn, I mean, this is a guy, like, we wouldn't even be doing the show if it wasn't for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's rough to talk about when you hear his son, like, was that his young son that used to be showed, like, behind the cage and or behind the, whatever those things are. Oh, my God, I can't believe I don't know what that's called.
The crowd
in WCW, like, caught with black tar heroin. I don't even know what black tar heroin is.
It's pretty hardcore shit. Yeah, and there's actually no turning back from that stuff, I mean, usually.
So what was the article? I think I missed out on it. What was the big...
Well, it's on the Dead Pit message board, and this show, by the way, is on Dead Pit. I'm sure a lot of people are listening to it, so you can go over to the Dead Pit message board and look. It's from Grantland.com, which I've never heard of, but it's like a timeline of all of Ric Flair's legal issues and just personal problems and stuff like that. That they have
his ex-wives and stuff, all the problems he has with his ex-wives, and it's really messed up. It almost makes me feel bad for like making fun of the guy so much in the past.
Well, I mean, a lot of the issues, though, I mean, I can't feel too sorry for him because a lot of the stuff he brought upon himself. I mean, it's like he can't stop spending his money that he doesn't even have now. He doesn't have hardly any money. He got evicted from his house, I think, earlier this year. They were talking about that in the article. And it's sad, man, because, I mean, this guy, probably undoubtedly one of the top, you know, three or four known wrestlers of all time. I mean, there's not, you know, everybody knows who Ric Flair is, even if you're not a fan of wrestling. And it's just like, you know, this guy is just, I don't know, he's the wives and the, you know, just different expenses, you know, buying his, all of his wives, all this expensive jewelry and stuff like that. It's just like, he doesn't have anything left, it sounds like to me.
It sounded like he was too concerned with the image of Ric Flair, and on top of it, I think the women he was with always bought into that and didn't care where that would land him. It seems like when he had tax, like from what I read in this article, it seemed like his wife had tax problems as well, if I'm correct. Is that right, CK? Like, it seemed very fucking confusing. Like, they didn't have each other's back.
Mm-hmm. He was just, you know, I mean, his third wife's engagement ring was $100,000, it said.
And, but that's so retarded because there'd be some debts, like a furniture that he wouldn't pay off. I'm like, what the fuck are you buying this bitch a ring for?
Yeah.
Is pussy that good?
Like, he had a hard time splitting Ric Flair, the performer, from Ric Flair, the actual person. And it's, you know, real tragic because, I mean, you know, here, like we all said, here's a guy who, in my opinion, you know, in a lot of, you know, arguably probably the best wrestler, you know, ever. So within the last, I'd say, 50 years.
Yeah,
you know, my opinion.
Well, I mean, he's the real total package as far as, right, at least back in the day. I mean, he had it all. You know?
Right. You know, it's really sad because, I mean, but, you know, you reap what you sow, and it's just weird because, I mean, if you ever read his autobiography, he had a fucked up childhood. Really, really fucked up. And I think that, you know, I think he used, you know, the whole Flair image as an escape from who he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Was he poor?
Oh, he was poor. He just had a fucked up family life. It's really fucked up.
He was a foster kid, right?
I can't really remember, but it was like, it's something fucked up with his family. I can't remember.
Flair?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Flair.
Oh, I know Piper was a foster kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it was Piper. But, I mean, I know Flair had something fucked up going on with his childhood, too. I can't remember exactly what it was.
But everyone does, and, like, believe me, I'm the type that wants to stick up for him. But, I mean, you got taxes, and then, like, if you have one wife, fuck you ever, two wife. I mean, it might come to a point where you need to stop getting married.
Yeah.
Because there's legal shit involved. I mean, look, we're all here. Like, Dave, you married, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Dave, you're married. Creator got a girlfriend on, broke up. CK, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that shit is a serious step. And he did it, what, four times? It's retarded.
Yeah. The last one was in a matter of months after he got divorced from the other girl.
And you don't know if he's getting punched in the face. You read these things like he might have hit him. And then the airplane thing I thought was very interesting because I was always wondering, was that the same flight where Kurt Hennig and Brock Lesnar?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the airplane.
Dude, I wish I was on there because I heard weird shit about P.S. Hayes getting his hair cut off. all types of shit.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stories from I guess they call it the plane ride from hell or something like that.
Yeah, but I almost want to think some of them are lying, unless these guys, it's like such a fraternity where they just think they're unstoppable. I mean, like, dude, like, I am not Captain, like, respect the woman, but I would never, like, rub my dick on a woman or, like, place her hand on my dick. Like,
unless she asks you to, right?
Yeah.
Of Michael Hayes, there's so many weird stories. about him, and but you know, we could talk about that like on a later show or something, but like because it would just take so long to talk about him. But
yeah, but I just wanted to mention the Flair thing because like it's sad because it's like something else came out about alcoholic cardiomyopathy, which he's not supposed to be wrestling. Evidently, because of that, he's got heart issues because of all the alcohol. And he's going to be wrestling, I think, the next TNA Impact pay-per-view. And it's odd how much it's exactly like the movie The Wrestler in a lot of ways. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, but dude, like, Ric Flair should have never even fallen. It's like, what happened with him in WWE? Did WWE just say, okay, your meal ticket's over? Because Ric Flair was always over. I mean, he should have been put in the Eric Bischoff type of role. He should have toned down the insane theatrics he does, like when he does the elbow. He should have became a commissioner. So, I mean, he became less, and this is just my opinion, and it's a very superficial opinion, especially because I'm bald. He looks like shit on television.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his hairline goes back to his fucking ankle. Behind it,
yeah. He
well, you met him, CK. Well, I mean, what does he really look like? You know, does he look any different than what he looks like on TV?
I mean, in person, I didn't think he looked too bad in person. I mean, you know, not saying he looked hot or anything, but
he's more calm mannered on TNA. He's like, Sting, I know you respect me too much. You son of a bitch.
I mean, honestly, though, I didn't think he looked too old in person. That was just my opinion. I mean, I thought he looked okay, actually. I mean, you could tell like he'd been worn. I guess he'd been out there and doing what he was doing for so long. And the thing is that upsets me. And Flair, you know, I think he would be the first to say that he's not perfect. He's not a choir boy by any means. He's made mistakes and stuff like that. But if you've ever watched the Shoot interview, the most important thing on earth to that guy is wrestling. And you can tell when you fucking watch it. I mean, he loves the gimmick. He can't separate, like Dave was saying, he can't separate the wrestler from the guy because he is that guy all the time. And that's the issue, I think, with, that he just became his character. He didn't know how to turn it off.
Well, age and extravagance combined is not a good thing for him because, I mean, one, he's going to have to give it up, and the extravagance is going to have to settle down. So, I mean, like, dude, you can easily... He should go bankrupt. I mean, to me, because of fucking how shitty women are to him or how his dynamic is with women, this dude should live in an apartment and try to make a living making appearances, because you ain't going to rest. I mean, the dude is, what, 60? This dude was on WWE in 2002, 9 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So just think about 9 years from now. Guess what he's going to be? 70.
Yeah.
70 is an age where New Jack was beating that old guy up. What was his name? Gypsy Joe. Yeah, Gypsy Joe. I mean, dude, just think about these numbers. Yeah. He has to hang him up. I'm like, I don't want the guy to fail and have a miserable life. There's enough wrestlers doing that for themselves, because a lot of the older wrestlers, they seem to live a full, decent life, and hopefully he can do that for himself. But, I mean, just stay with... Oh, man. Pussy is not that important. Pussy is for making children. Don't live your life for it. that's my definite opinion. I mean, like, dude, there's people that get robbed blind. And, like, whether he's a piece of shit or she's a piece of shit, they're trying to sue each other. They both have debts. And they both have debts, and they're not solving anything.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to rob each other blind, so probably they can pay the debt.
Yeah, and he definitely needs to, you know, he should have learned from the big divorce was the one that he had from Beth, I think, which is his wife for, like, 20-some-odd years. And that's the one that took the most of his money. So he should have learned his lesson at that point and be like, look, I'm Ric Flair. I'm still a pretty big deal. I can get, you know, and I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could get, like, young ass, whatever he likes. But don't fucking marry him. Have live-in pussy or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it's partially his fault, too. I mean, you can't really... I feel sorry for the guy, but... you know, you can't feel too sorry for him because it's not like You know, it was all brought upon him. He brought some of it upon himself.
Yeah, it just sucks, man. It's like, I see what you can do with a regular shitty job. I mean, granted, I live at home and shit, but like right now, I'm intoxicated. I like go to a party. You know, it's like, what does this guy got to do? Go to a hotel and drink $4 beers every night, every night of the year? Drink champagne?
Yeah.
Buy other table champagne? It's like, do you really need to do that? Take
no.
care of your, pay for your fucking house, dickhead.
Pay your taxes.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with buying a PBR every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead
yeah,
of
like,
champagne.
Every once in a while, hey, but like every night. That's the
exactly.
thing. Or a steak dinner every night. Hey, it's fine to eat at Taco Bell or McDonald's. You know,
exactly.
Even if you're Ric Flair, goddamn, that doesn't mean you're not the Nature Boy. I mean, fuck, nobody's going to think anything different of you.
But dude,
no,
he
I
has
do
to
have a Ric Flair Taco Bell story. Believe it or not.
Uh oh.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett eats at Subway. There was a house TNA house show in Pikeville one time, and we went to Subway. Before the house show, and Jeff Jarrett and Beer Money were in Subway.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
It's just weird seeing those guys like an everyday. I mean, yeah, they're people and stuff, but you know, you just see the characters. I don't know. It's just fucked up. But anyway, my buddy, him and his family used to live down in Greensboro. And, my buddy's brother worked at Taco Bell. Well, Ric Flair and his family came through the drive-thru. I guess they fucked up his order. And about an hour later, Ric Flair called. And he was pissed off and cussed my buddy's brother out because he was the manager.
He should have recorded that conversation. That would have been awesome.
That would have been, yeah, it would have been hilarious.
Did you guys ever hear Ric Flair calling the Honky Tonk Show, if it was even Ric Flair?
I never
No,
I didn't hear that.
I mean, because he's like, quit calling me saggy ass, you son of a bitch.
I'm willing to bet that probably wasn't him, but you never know.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, because I was questioning if it's him the whole time, and Honky Tonk never referenced that it might not be him. There was like a security guard that came over and made conversation, was like, dude, you got to get out. And he was like, I'm about to get arrested. But believe me, I don't do a good Flair imitation, but I just think it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Just one last thing I want to say, because I'm having mega ADHD right now. The best thing I ever saw with Flair was Flair in when he was in the mental home in WCW.
On WCW?
With Triple A.
He was on there with Scott Hall. Do you remember that shit?
I don't know, but what did he have, Triple A and Little Nate?
Well, Little Nate was, like, back in WCW, like, running things for him while he was in, like, the mental home, and he was, like, all he had on was, like, he just had his, like, his robe that he would wear to the ring, but he had, like, hospital gowns on underneath.
I want to go
it.
Piss. I can't help it. I'll be right back. You guys continue on.
All right.
It's okay. I like your penis. No, but
Scott Hall was like in there with him, and he was just making these phone calls to like Charles Robinson and just telling him what to do. Yeah, I remember that shit, but what were you saying about that?
The whole thing I think that's weird about that, I think that set the tone for crazy Ric Flair where he does little skittish, like, run across the ring, elbow nothing, handcuff himself to the rope, be in his
box.
Oh,
yeah, well, that was when, yeah, I remember that promo, too.
The whole the Bischoff era.
Yeah, Bischoff, he goes, if you don't get out here, I want to get naked. You know, he's like just doing random elbows to the mat. And, you know, like, and I love WCW, and I can't wait till we do a show where we just talk nothing about old WCW, because, you know, I can go on about that shit forever. I watch the old Nitro DVDs and all the time, and I love watching old Flair promos, and just, I was watching a an old Nitro earlier today has a Hacksaw Jim Duggan promo, or not a promo, but he's doing an interview with Mean Gene, and Big Boss Man, when he was in WCW, he was known as Big Bubba, and he was in the NWO at the time, and he got attacked by someone they didn't know who it was, he got attacked by at the time, and so they were just trying to figure out who did it, and in the interview, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was like, he goes, "I didn't do Big Bubba." He goes, "Big Bubba looks too darn good for me to do him."
Hey, Dave, what was some of your favorite WCW moments, if you have a couple off the top?
Man, well, let's see. Probably just early shit, dude. Just classic matches like the Road Warriors and shit like that, but I can't really think of anything in particular, though. Mm-hmm. But, mostly, I was a WWF guy.
I was too a lot back in the day, and the funny thing is, I always reference Halloween Havoc 91. It was the one of the only pay-per-views I ever had, and it was because my mom knew someone that taped it. Me and my brother, I think we saw a Wrestle War or something. I think it was Max Payne and Cactus Jack. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some quality stuff back then, and I think WCW got worse and worse as they tried to be more and more like WWF with gimmick-based characters. NWA was more guys in trunks, athletic contests, grudge match, I hate you, you hate me.
Right.
Other than Legion of Doom.
Was more of a WWF guy in, when 98, Austin started getting over as, the WWF champion and stuff, and that's when I started getting more into WWF, because, WCW was kind of getting lame around that time anyway, and I really just, I was a huge Sting fan, just growing up my whole life anyway, and just when Sting joined the Wolf Pack, the NWO Wolf Pack, I was like, fuck this shit. I was like, because I didn't want to see that thing,
The whole thing, Sting soured me. Later WCW was so hot, Sting was so hot early. It's like Sting had some dark years, but the Sting Crow gimmick, he always disappeared. Name a spectacular match of Sting the Crow in WCW. Name one.
You can't
get disputing with dinosaurs back then.
Well,
guys to get divorced by pigs.
I do gotta say though, I remember when Sting went up against Hogan in Starrcade, the match was horrible.
Yeah,
the match was fucking horrible.
They fucked the ending up.
Yeah, but it was. I can't help when towards the end of it, I was marking out. Of course, I just watched it for the fucking show of it. So
yeah, they hopped it well enough.
The
hype was great because they hopped it up for a fucking year.
So, the whole match, I can't recall it. Was it just, good match and then a botch? Or, missed
No, it was just, from what I can remember, it was just two old men going.
Yeah.
Two old papaw bodies.
Papaw.
I was going to say, that pay-per-view does have one of the greatest DDP matches of all time on it, though, is when he faced Kurt Hennig for the United States Championship.
Kurt Hennig was always good. He was just an over back bump seller. I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah, I remember what he would oversell it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have brought RoboCop back in.
But we've got, WCW, I know Crater definitely wants to do it. A few WCW shows eventually.
Definitely, yeah. Because I got to talk about Vince Russo's dumbass.
Yeah, definitely we could do one on the death of WCW, which I think started when he first took over, if you ask me, because that was
the 99 October.
Yeah, that was I can't understand how that guy still got a job in the business.
Some people think he's a plant still to this day of TNA, to fucking ruin him.
Well, he's doing a pretty good job, if that's the case.
Dude, it's indescribably bad. Like, any place I ever worked at where I was cynical about, like, if I swept cigarette butts at TNA, I would think that was disorganized. I'm like, they're not teaching me how to do this correctly. I'd be like, they're fucking retards over there. And I ain't saying that to be funny. They got female analysis, like, fucking, it's taped terribly. Everything about it's bad. Like,
he's not wrong, so.
Yeah. It is horrible. Yeah. I mean, when I went down to Universal last year for our honeymoon, I mean, they were getting ready to start taping Impact, and they were giving people food coupon tickets to go to, like, Mel's Diner and shit like that, so people will come in and watch the fucking show.
God damn. I hope you didn't go. I hope you didn't ruin your honeymoon.
No, we went and see. We went to the Harry Potter thing, but...
Let me tell you how pissed I got earlier this year, because in April they had the TNA lockdown pay-per-view where, like, every match is a steel cage match, and it was in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, like, and Sting was going to be there, and, like, you know, I grew up loving Sting, so, and I never got to see him in person ever at a wrestling show, or I never got to see Hogan either, so I knew Hogan was going to be there too. So that was the only reason we went, just because I wanted to see Sting wrestle. And so we went, and then we paid like probably about $70 a ticket. And then when, you know, we got there, like, there was like tons and tons of seats that weren't even like filled. But like when the show was getting closer to it for it to start, like these seats are like filling up. And come to find out, we found out like Don West went out on the street to Cincinnati and was giving away fucking free tickets.
Wow.
But that would piss you off.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. I was like, I'll never give another fucking dime to this company. It pissed me off so bad.
Well, that's why I really don't consider TNA that much of a wrestling company. It's more along the lines of a TV show than a wrestling company, because
they filmed 2 episodes in one day.
Yeah. And sometimes 3 episodes. They've done 3 episodes before, too. And besides that, I mean, like, the Impact Zone, that nobody pays to go in there to those shows. Like you all said, they pass out the tickets. And even the shows where they go away, like Crater said, they're giving away free tickets. So how are you profiting? What is the point?
This must be Spike TV. I don't know. This is what I got to say. If a girl is a 4 out of 10 and has a yeast infection, I'll go down on her and enjoy it. Before I would enjoy their program. That's how bad it is.
You'd enjoy some yeasty goodness.
No, I'm going to tell you. I'm selective, man. No, I'm just saying I'm selective, man. I don't just like banging ugly broads, but I would bang fucking 10 tards with vajayjays. I don't say this to be cool. I love Robert Roode. I love some of their wrestlers. When was the last time Austin Aries was on the program?
He's like an announcer now or something, and is he still wrestling? I don't know.
Austin Aries?
I get those guys mixed up.
Austin Aries is wrestling on there like every week.
Oh, I don't watch TNA, so
really?
I wouldn't know.
Well, I mean, I can't sit through their program because I think Bubba the Love Sponge, no, not Bubba the Love Sponge.
Dude.
I just want to have something to complain about.
I'm serious,
man. That's exactly
man.
Who he's talking about, too.
I could sit through the WXO easily. Back in the day, you guys, I'm sure you don't even remember the WXO. It was pretty shitty. But, like, I cannot sit through TNA.
Dude, Ring of Honor looks like... go on, I'm very sorry.
I was just asking what WXO was. I don't remember it.
It was a syndicated wrestling show. It used to come on, like... I think they made, like, a total of 20 episodes, and Ted DiBiase kind of funded it. It was more like a... I think it was right after WCW folded up or something, or shortly before or whatever, and they would bring in, you know, a lot of old, it's kind of like the, do you remember the AWF? It's kind of like that. They would bring in a lot of old stars and shit. At least that
was Hulk Hogan in it?
No, that was the XWF.
Okay.
God, I hate wrestling. There's too many fucking three-letter words.
Yeah.
Acronyms.
We'll continue on. The last news thing that I've got on here, we've got to talk about this, is the whole deal with Matt Hardy recently, we've got to talk about this.
That is fucking stupid. Either he is fucking cracked out, we know he's cracked out.
Filled out.
Yeah, he's either so far fucking gone, or he's just trying to use this whole entity thing as an excuse just to try to get an angle over.
Okay, hold on one sec. Entity? What are you talking about?
Oh, well.
Did you not watch the video?
I'll explain it to you. The Matt Hardy YouTube channel is basically, he posts like, what would you guys say? Probably 4 or 5 videos a week at least.
Yeah. Sometimes I thought he was retarded sometimes. The one time it seemed like he was saying his brother was going to die due to the leg tingling. It was creepy.
Yeah, they had the, they're doing this paranormal activity sort of thing on there where there's they filmed this one video where you could see, like, it was clearly somebody in the background walking around, and they acted like it was a ghost or something like that, and Matt Hardy's running around with a freaking gun, you know, looking for somebody. In the next video, which is even more bizarre,
last video he did where he's just talking about, like, there's, like, fucking, like, just clothes and all this other shit laying around everywhere in his house, and he's just, I don't know, he's talking about, like, because I just came home, there's, like, these signs and shit. I don't know, he's just fucking insane.
Oh, he looks...
My theory was that he just got hyped up on grapes, and then he just did that shit himself.
Oh, did he, like, blame the car wreck and shit on the entity also?
Yeah, he probably did. The entity fucked him, gave him some fucking lower tabs and got him all fucked up and called him...
He stuck those lower tabs in those grapes that he loves so much.
The thing is, though, and this is a clear, like, I don't know. I know his brother is fucked up, too. I don't know at this point who's more fucked up, he or his brother. Their dad lives close with him. Somebody needs to fucking get with him and be like, look, you need to get some help. And you need to put your fucking camera up, go to some sort of rehab facility and get yourself, because he's lost his job. TNA fired him, which is bizarre too, because, like, you know, Jeff Hardy is coming back here shortly on TNA.
Yeah, he just made his return last night at a taping.
Yeah, it's coming, like, I guess in a couple of weeks.
September 8th.
Yeah. And he actually fucked up the main event of a pay-per-view, yet they didn't fire him. But they fire Matt Hardy.
He fucked business up more.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I understand Jeff Hardy's a bigger draw, but, I mean, you know, he's...
If you get fired from TNA, man, then that's some fucked up shit.
It means you have a wonky eye.
Well, see, Jeff Hardy was in Ring of Honor at one point, and, like, I remember, and he was under a mask at the time he was in Ring of Honor, and
Willow the Wisp, was he?
Huh?
Was he Willow the Wisp?
I think so, yeah. And when they unmasked him in Ring of Honor, the fans went fucking nuts. I mean, they hated him because they didn't know it was him under that mask.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd they hate him?
Because he was a WWE guy, I'm sure.
He was Jeff Hardy. I mean, why wouldn't you hate him?
No, but I mean, he's pretty over with, like, certain crowds. I mean, the dude did a lot.
Ring of Honor fans, you just gotta... I mean, they're pretty hardcore on how they're... with certain guys, you know?
Well, yeah, you gotta do cartwheels and act like a faggot, I guess.
Hey, Ring of Honor is different from OVW.
I'm just saying, man. I like punch guys in the face. Oh, yeah, OVW, yeah.
You know, and here's the thing is, with me, and a lot of people hate on the Hardy Boys and shit like that, I've never been a huge fan of them as far as, like, their actions and stuff. But, like, this is another thing. Like, you remember the matches that probably got them hooked on drugs, on painkillers or whatever else they're taking, those fucking TLC matches that they were doing in WWE. So people probably need to think a little bit more about that before they say, oh, these guys fuck themselves and stuff. In the end, I think that, like, definitely Jeff Hardy, got addicted to him because of the shit he was doing in the ring. You know, and he's basically a broken down guy, like 34, 35 years old, whatever he is now.
Now he's an artist.
Yeah, he's
crazy. According to Paul London, Paul London said it's like Joey Mercury was one of the guys that got them started on like doing those peels and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they were really entertaining guys, and Jeff was like, what, at one point, he's probably like the number two guy in WWE there for...
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So. I mean, he
go ahead, Rick.
No, I was going to say, he had the opportunity that Christian took. Christian went to TNA for, what, 4 years? 3 years?
Yeah.
Comes to WWE, and now he's having a title run. Jeff Hardy got that opportunity, got the same thing, but he just didn't keep it long. You know what I mean?
I think, though, like, Jeff Hardy, he was more over than anybody aside from maybe Cena. And that's the big difference. I mean, God. I mean, you talk about the money. He
the white trash that likes him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whoever it is, he was over. I mean, that's clear. Like, the little kids and the, you know, all the people. I mean, and he, the drugs and stuff basically ruined his life in a lot of ways. I mean, now he's, you know, TNA, who gives a fuck?
You guys remember the match he had with The Undertaker? Back when The Undertaker was like the American Badass?
On Raw?
Was that like the ladder match?
That was like in 2003.
I remember that match. I think it was on Raw. It was, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite Jeff Hardy match of all time, the ladder match with Undertaker.
That was a really, really fucking good, I mean, you know, pretty damn good match. I mean, and I think it really set Jeff Hardy up as a singles competitor then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it solidified him because he like came out. He had the microphone, told Undertaker like, "Is that all you got?" or something. I'm paraphrasing, and then Undertaker showed him respect.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like Jeff Hardy, as far as the in ring and even like his charisma and stuff. I mean, neither one of them were really that good as far as on the mic goes. But he was definitely, I think, the more talented of the two. And Matt Hardy, I think, if anything, he's the craziest of the two. I mean, there's no. I don't know what the deal is with him, but he's got some major, like, you could just tell, I don't know, he's got some major issues going on.
My thing about him, okay, imagine, like, a regular YouTuber, right, being famous. He's famous, and he thinks he has to act like a regular Joe. I'm like, dude, regular Joes have, like, 1,000 people to like their shit. But I'm like, you're a guy with problems.
Yeah.
You're doing videos with problems, with DUIs and drug dependency and a brother that's fucked up and crying about an ex-girlfriend. I'm like, dude, you're putting yourself on blast constantly for 200,000 people maybe?
Yeah.
And then, like, if 200,000 views, you don't know how many friends are watching it. It's all fucked up.
Nothing can... Yeah, that's the thing. Like, these guys, when it comes to shit like that, nothing good can come of posting a bunch of shit on YouTube if you're famous already. Like, that's just a big mistake.
But I can say right now, I want to blow Matt Hardy. Guess what? People don't think I blow him because I'm just some guy. If he said I blow Russ Rutter, people are like, "Who's Russ Rutter?" That's odd.
They would.
That'll
get you over.
That made no sense.
So, I think though, unbelievably enough, though, like, what can actually come from this run? I mean, how long is it going to take for him to come back in fucked up? Because he never went to rehab. He never did anything to get off of whatever the fuck he was on at that pay-per-view.
My opinion,
I give it to the end of the year.
I don't think he's going to give a fuck because where he's at. What about that company? Like, if you work at a company you don't respect, like, just if you're a regular job, you're going to do some shit like I did. Like, fuck it.
Well, I mean, Hogan's obviously getting fucking high with RVD in the back and shit because he's coming out there at the end of the
day. I've seen those photos.
His eyes are bloodshot and shit and stuff. So, like, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, Jeff Hardy's just going to do whatever the fuck he wants. But, like, I think he might, you know, he might last until the end of the year. Like, he might get in fucking trouble again. He might do something similar to his brother.
Yeah, you know what?
It's just a paycheck for him. It's just a way for him to get money. You know, if he had any respect for, you know, the... Here's my thing about Jeff. This kind of pissed me off. I mean, yeah, you know, guys, you know, do drugs, stuff like that. Guys get drunk, you know. But don't fucking bring it into the ring. You know what I mean? Like it,
yeah, you could hurt someone.
Yeah, you could fucking hurt somebody, especially going up. But I mean, you know, love him or hate him, but Sting's fucking old school. He's an icon and shit. And that was really kind of dissing fucking Sting at TNA was, having, you know, Sting go out. They should have never had anybody go out in the ring with Jeff Hardy.
No. He should have never
so
been shot.
Poorly booked, even at the very end. I don't care if that shit happened a split second. That shit should have been an opportunity for someone to get on the mic and create an angle.
Right.
Exactly. Like,
they should have kicked him out of the company and created an angle off it.
I can guarantee you.
Scott Hall in his condition right now, like where he's at in his life, I mean, just that could be Jeff Hardy very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Hardy could be dead, too. I mean, it's one of those deals where, like, he looked so messed up on that pay-per-view where it was like he could have, it looked like he was almost on the verge of overdosing or something. I mean, whatever the hell he took, like, you know.
Maybe Jeff Hardy's the entity.
He could be.
Believe me, if I was at the pinnacle of a certain sport or fame, like, I wouldn't want to just be like, oh, let's go get a job at Bob Evans. But some of these guys need to hump for themselves. I'm like, dude, like, I'm not ripping on these guys. Like, I'm trying to say, like, dude, if what his brother says is true about his fucking legs tingling, Jeff Hardy might be doing some drugs to cope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not trying to sympathize with him, but if any one of us here felt like complete shit right now for no reason, wouldn't you want to take something?
Well,
even
I mean,
if you rely on medical prescriptions?
Yeah, that's how it all starts. I mean, that's the thing with pain medicine usually. I mean, you'll find all you got to do is find a doctor that's willing to supply you with it, and then a lot of the times the guys get hooked on it. I mean, not even just wrestling. I mean, around here, Crater knows about, like, all the problems with pain medication, and a lot of people in coal mines and stuff get addicted to it because they have knee problems and back problems and stuff like that. I mean, it's easy to get addicted to. That's the thing. And I'm not really blaming him other than the fact that he probably should go to a rehab center or something and get his life straightened out, because I think eventually if he was to clean himself up, I am sure WWE would give him another shot. I mean, he's that big enough of a name. If he can become dependable again to them, and you know, I mean, maybe he could use that as motivation, maybe clean himself up, who knows. But I mean, maybe another thing is his back or knees or whatever it is so messed up that he could never probably work without him. I mean, who knows.
And here's the thing to all you wrestling fans or marks that want to become a wrestler. It's like, you can be a spot monkey, you can be the best technician. You want to know what the most important thing to be is? A charismatic wrestler that draws money, because you can end up a fucking movie star, or you can end up a regular Joe, maybe a guy like Taz, that ends up fucking announcing for Raw and then transitions to TNA.
Yeah.
The most important thing, don't be a mark, make fucking money. Like, okay, I'm a mark, like, I'm doing this show for fucking free, but if you're fucking a wrestler, make fucking money. Don't injure yourself and do retarded shit. You think Morrison's going to be around for a while? No.
Nope. Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be a drug fuck-up either.
I agree. I mean, look.
Watch Dean Malenko matches and just, you know, inspire to be like him.
Yeah, or even some of the old guys. I mean,
but he sucked on the mic.
But he had a long career, though. Dean Malenko was around for a long time. He made a lot of money, I think, is what
The Man of a Thousand Hold shit was cool, but Jericho, I thought, was good.
Actually, Dean Malenko, at that point in time, he'd been around for about 15, 16 years when he got to WCW. A lot of people don't realize that. But
no, I'm saying there's a lot of guys you got to respect. But, I mean, I think the most important thing in wrestling, I mean, is, like, why do we watch?
Yeah,
it's like, well, other people made you want to see Malenko matches, in my opinion. To me, right? He wrestled. To me, he's another guy that looked like he was dancing. He looked like a midget dancing. I'm sorry.
you're gonna piss Crater off.
I think. Okay.
But the another thing, though, like, some of these guys, like, again, a lot of people hate on John Cena because he never gets hurt. Well, not because he never gets hurt, because he doesn't never take a break. You don't take a break because, you know, he's the number one guy, and they're not going to give him a break unless he gets hurt. And he's
steroids got good recovery.
I guess so, man, because he had like I don't know what the hell, like a torn pectoral, and came back in like 2 months or something.
I mean, if he does that on his off time, there should be nothing wrong with that.
But he doesn't really, that's the thing, he doesn't get injured because he doesn't really, I mean, he does enough to where he doesn't have to do risky moves. I mean, he's charismatic enough, and, you know, a lot of the guys like that, like Hogan was kind of the same way, he definitely made more money that way, so. But anyway, I think my point about the whole Hardy thing was, though, there's a lot of people on the internet, of course, making fun of the Hardy boys and stuff, and it's easy to make fun of because Matt Hardy's an idiot. I mean, let's go ahead and face facts. But, like, I think these guys, especially Jeff, there's a reason they're on pain, they're hooked on pain medicine and stuff. I mean, it's the stuff that they were doing in the ring for all those years. I mean, it takes its toll on you, I'm sure.
It sets the standard, and it makes me wonder why guys like, I know the Dudleys weren't probably doing all the spottier stuff, like hitting bumps on the outside, but God, with guys of that stature, it's like, why aren't they like wrecks? I mean, they're probably going to end up steroid 45 years old type heart explosion wrecks. I just don't understand how their body isn't physically crippled is like Edge and Christian and all that. Christian seems fine, but whatever.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, I think a lot of these guys, it's going to take its toll on them. I mean, Mick Foley's another one that, I mean, we saw him at the Friday Night Film Fest a couple of years ago, and he was limping like he was an elderly man. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And he was like in his, at that point in time, he was in his early 40s, I think.
And that's unbelievable to me because he was so hot when he retired.
Yeah.
Like two years after. Go on.
I said he would have to fully, you know, start wrestling again after his, you know, retirement. I mean, I love McFoley. I'm a huge McFoley mark. But, I mean, it's sad to sit there and fucking watch him wrestle now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible.
He shouldn't. I mean, the dude got, I mean, with YouTube hanging around, it's like, these guys don't understand. They are accessible at all times. I can watch a Mankind Cactus Jacks match in 1 second. Why do they feel that? Don't get in the ring when you're past your fucking prime. Right? He writes books.
I do think we're going to see at least one more Mick Foley match, though. I think it's actually going to be at WrestleMania this year.
I think so.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess we should get into the main part of the show. It's
top
like
50.
It's an hour in already, so we're going. You know, brevity is not a part of the four podcast for sure. But yeah, the DVD came out last year. Top 50 superstars of all time, folks. Death of all time, and WWE said that it was voted amongst the WWE superstars. This list was, which I'm not so sure about. And we'll get into it.
I think it was just Triple H.
It was Triple H's top 50.
I don't know about that, Dad.
When I see number 41, I think about Ric Flair promos and old WCW when he used to go off on Eric Bischoff. He'd be like, the Briscoes! I'm like, I never gave a fuck about the Briscoes.
Gerald and Jerry. Yeah.
I gave a fuck about Cisco's.
There's a lot of people in here on this list that was never in WWE, actually, which was, or WWF or WWWF, which was even more bizarre.
Alright, let's kick it. Are we going to go reverse? Are we just going to pick random names? How are we doing this?
I think we're going to go reverse from 50 to 1, right?
We can, if you want to, or we can,
CK, I say you lead it.
Okay. Well, okay, let's start off with number 50. They had picked Killer Kowalski, who was in the old WWWF. But nobody knows who the fuck that guy is. I mean, he trained Triple H.
Yeah, that's all I know about him. He trained Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was lanky and, like, weird and, like, your typical old, like, arr type of wrestler.
He did the fucking claw. That's all
he was
I know about him.
A big fucking guy, though. I do remember that. I mean, especially for that era. I don't know. I think he was like 6'5", 6'6", and there was nobody that big around that time.
I think number 50 should be the Von Erichs collective demise.
I don't think the Von Erichs make any appearance on the list.
They're not. Like, Terry Von Erich's not even on this list.
Yeah, well, there's
no, if they don't make it clear cut, if it's supposed to be W, it's confusing. Of course he should be on it.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's Texas Tornado, no. He's one-legged.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it looks like to me that it's not a list that's brand-oriented because Harley Race, are you going to fucking vote King Harley Race as number 6? I mean, I don't know if we... You know, I think they're thinking of the NWA Harley Race of the early.
Now, because we grew up and I have footage, there's a lot of things I appreciate about Harley Race, and he actually got to fight Hulk Hogan,
yeah.
Even though it's out of his prime.
Uh-huh.
And like we saw him manage Vader, which he got heat. There's a lot of nice things about him, but. Fucking hey, they make this list confusing. Go on, I don't want to talk all day.
Okay.
I have a yeast infection in my throat.
But with Kowalski, they just show like they show short clips with like what you do with like everyone on this list, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like they just show like with him, they show like a few of the current superstars that are in the WWE right now. They're just like, oh, he was great. Oh yeah, he was great.
Killer Kowalski was a big guy. He was German or something.
They just say like stuff that they don't really go into detail about his career or anything, or on any of them.
So
know?
Yeah, 50 was Killer Kowalski, 49 Batista.
Fuck no!
He should not
even be on this list.
If you vote Batista on this list, there should be Hercules Hernandez and every other fucking body on this.
You know what, though? Batista, early on, before he got hurt for the first time, I thought Batista was fucking pretty good, actually.
When he was Deacon Batista?
No, I mean, before whatever that big injury was that he had, where he was out for a while and then he came back and then he didn't really do anything. Kind of like Ahmed Johnson. But, I mean, I probably wouldn't put him in the top 50, though.
If you're that big, you should have Brock Lesnar, charisma, or else. Get the fuck out of here.
Brock Lesnar's not on the list.
Here's what
retarded.
Brock's not on this list, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll go through this list, and then we'll talk about some of the people that should be on the list. How's that sound?
Yeah, I should have wrote the list.
Batista's like, you know, he had some good matches with Undertaker and Triple H. But, like, you know, I just didn't think the guy had that much charisma of, like, people like Goldberg.
I thought Evolution was awesome. Stable. I like that. I like I actually like the one finish to the Punjabi prison match. Do you guys remember that with the great Khali?
Yeah.
He actually, like, I don't know if you guys remember what the Punjabi prison was. It was like a double cage.
And I remember it because they have one with the Undertaker as well.
Yeah, and Batista at the end, like, Khali was ahead of him or something, and he was already climbing up the second cage, and Batista was climbing down the first cage, and it's like dual-layered cages. And Batista makes this jump over to the second cage, and I thought it, for a guy his size, it was actually a pretty cool finish for that show. So Batista, you know what, I mean, he's sort of, I don't know if I'd put him in the top 50, but I don't think he's as bad as everybody lets on today. I would like to see him back.
I mean, even if it's top 100, I mean, because this list is so confusing. I'm like, is this? They got technical wrestlers. They got different federations. It's like, where's Barry Windham? Is Barry Windham better than Batista? Everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the Stalker, I mean, Barry Windham would be
Batista's
better than Batista.
Not even in my fucking top 100.
The Widowmaker's better than Batista.
So, okay, and right above Batista is Ravishing Rick Rude.
That's
fucking
higher.
top 20, easily.
Yeah, easily. Rick Rude's in top 20.
Without a belt, that dude earned. Oh my god! In the WCCW DVD, they knock him like he wasn't some marketable guy for that. I don't know if you guys recall that. They breeze through him.
Uh huh.
Rick Rude dances on all their faggot faces.
he's one of the greatest heels of all time. I mean, he had Jake the Snake Roberts' fucking wife on his penis.
What I need for all you right now.
That's
what
rude.
I need. What's he say? Like, I need all you Pennsylvania sweat hogs. My mom was like, that's offensive.
You know, he was one of those guys, too, though, because I remember, 9 or 10 years old, that he was a bad guy, but the women loved him. Like, I don't know, that's kind of a thing that you don't really see anymore, because the women all loved him because, you know, his body and stuff like that. If you're going to these live events, it was bizarre because he was a bad guy. He was making fun of everybody.
The camera always panned to those women out there in the audience, too.
Yeah.
And they showed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was legit, too. They all loved him. I mean, it was strange for that era because, like, it was just such a cookie-cutter era. And I actually, to me, I think I talked about this before, though, Rick Rude and WCW, the Dangerous Alliance, Rick Rude and stuff like that, because that was a good...
Steve Austin and Brian Pillman and all those guys.
And that, yeah, that was a good, I just thought that fit really well. And I loved the, for anybody that's followed me on Facebook for any amount of time, you can see the Rick Rude, creator wrestler that I messed with on the SmackDown versus Raw. And I added you guys remember the old theme of the woman that's singing about, simply ravishing or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Bob Backlund at 47. What do you guys think?
I think he deserves a spot. Well, I actually think Bob Backlund deserves a higher spot than 47, because I think the guy is, he held the title for years, and he's just a very respected wrestler.
Yeah, I wouldn't really, I'd say he's pretty good at 47.
What I gotta say is, at 47, I'm kind of torn. He's a guy that was regular fucking Joe wrestler, old school wrestler, just draw money on the fact that he can wrestle. Takes a few years off, he comes back as a fucking heel with a devastating cross-faced chicken. it's kind of crazy. I mean, Bret Hart, I give a lot of respect for. Bret Hart made a lot of, I'm sorry to bring him up so early in this, made a lot of interesting feuds. And Bob Backlund was one of them, Bret Hart's feud with Owen and Jerry the King. It's like, I think Bob Backlund stands out. Bob Backlund putting over a big guy like Kevin Nash, I think, gave credibility, especially for historians that understood how long he held the belt. I mean, I'm sure kids didn't understand that, but, like, Wrestler Magazine / Mark.
See, Rock, I'm kind of torn. Like, it's like, yeah, he's easily within the top at least 30, for me, because he held the belt for so long, and he wasn't necessarily the most charismatic guy, but, I mean, it's just like everybody seems like they respect him, He was a damn good wrestler. So,
damn good heel, too.
Yeah,
I was in the Greatest Steel Cages, that new DVD that came out, the Greatest Steel Cage Matches or whatever it was. And, like, the first match on there is a match from the 79, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's Bob Backlund versus Pat Patterson.
Faggot.
And it's one of the most intense steel cage matches I've ever watched in my entire life, though. Like, because he was an intense, like, fighter back then.
They were vicariously wrestling through gay sex. I don't hate homos, but
I don't hate homos.
I'm fucking gonna say something.
Pat Patterson's on this list. If Pat Patterson, like, if somebody would have said Pat Patterson was on this list,
I gotta say, like, going back though, yeah, Pat Patterson's on the fucking DVD cover too, by the way, which Hogan, Savage, or Flair are not, which is fucked up, but anyway.
His name is Pat Patterson. Pat. is he Irish? Pat. My mom's name's Pat.
He's French-Canadian.
No wonder I hate him.
Bob Backlund, though, it was an interesting era because, like, he was champion for such a long time. And then I think he didn't – the story was he didn't want to job to Hulk Hogan. So he jobbed to Iron Sheik, who, like, a week or two later jobbed to Hogan.
Makes business sense because Hogan was a face.
Yeah. But
Bob Backlund, you know, he did play chess with Jonathan Taylor Thomas at WrestleMania.
He did. That was a memorable WrestleMania for a lot of reasons.
Go on, CK.
Yeah, he was the one guy, like, I believe he beat Superstar Billy Graham, who was another big muscled-up dude. Then that went pretty much straight from, like, the 2 or 3 years, whatever it was, that he had the belt, and then he got beat by Hogan. And I don't know, like, because I wasn't alive, of course, around that time, or was, you know, an infant. I don't know how over Bob Backlund was as a champion around that time. Like, I'm guessing he had to be kind of over to stay the world champion for that long. But you just don't see, like, I don't think there's a whole lot of matches out. And I kind of liked to see some of that stuff because I wasn't around that time, you know, just to see what it was like. But wrestling back then was so much different than it.
It's so crazy because we were like born in 81. I mean, that shit was going on right when we were born.
Yeah.
And we're acting like it's so fucking old. It's like, I do wish we can see these tapes, but top 50 superstars. Now, when I'm saying I'm torn, if I was to make this list, I'd make it about superstars. That's why guys like Ultimate Warrior would make the list.
Right.
You know, I mean, we can talk about that later, but is he a superstar? He has the legacy.
Yeah, that's why I agree. Maybe 47, real low on the list. I would say that's a decent spot for him. Now the next person I don't think should be on the list at all. And that's Dory Funk Jr. And that's somebody that a lot of people like as a wrestler. Nobody fucking knows who it is though. WWE audience, nobody gives a fuck. They know him. If anybody knows him, it's fucking Hoss Funk.
Terry's brother.
Now, where the fuck's Terry Funk? Okay, Terry Funk's on here.
Yeah, Terry Funk.
Don't worry, Funk. Fuck him.
Bret Hart. I know Bret Hart considers Dory Funk Jr. as one of the best ever, but, you know, that's just all I know of him. Like,
look, yeah.
In my opinion, I could really give a fuck about Dory Funk Jr.
To me, if you're going to fucking have, if you're going to have Hoss Funk and Terry Funk on there, where the fuck is Jimmy Jack Funk? He should be on the top 50 list, too, goddammit.
It's not
Funk.
Penis Funk. Here's the thing. I never got to see a lot of Matt.
He's like the Dudley, like Big Dick Dudley.
Dory Funk, I don't know if you guys... He invented P-Funk.
He did. What about fucking Flash Funk?
Flash Funk.
He's not on there either.
About Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Flash Funk.
Well, that's the fucking same person.
Dude, his promos with Ron Simmons are awesome.
So yeah, Dory Funk is the classic example of somebody that's not a superstar. Might be a great wrestler.
Yeah.
But no, he shouldn't be on this list.
Like if I watched his matches, I'd like. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, CK, if like, say if your parents liked Moody Blues and they raved about their fucking concert, are you going to go watch a bunch of Moody Blues YouTube videos?
No.
Oh my God, I'm going to get a Moody Blues t-shirt. No, I'm not. I'm going to listen to fucking Spice One because I'm a wigger from Turtle Creek.
Yeah.
Dory Funk Jr.'s music should have been like Flash Punk's. It should have went, Dory, you are so funky.
What is he in a? Is he in a fucking time machine? Dory Funk's from like 1980, whatever the shit.
Is Dory Funk?
He should wear a fucking outfit like Flash Funk.
He could have the Funkettes with him.
If Dory Funk hasn't drawn a dime in like 35 years.
And he's always looked old too. That's what I was going to mention. Like, has fucking Dory Funk ever looked like a young guy?
They all got that redneck face. I had a redneck great grandpa to punch me in the face when I broke a chicken egg in his yard.
He's got papaw that body.
He does. He's had papaw body since 1982.
Like that cowboy Bob Orton. How the hell is Randy Orton good looking? Dory Funk and like Terry, they got that cowboy Bob Orton face. They just got an ugly face. I like attractive guys.
So I think we all agree, though, Dory Funk Jr. is not top 50 material.
Hey, Dory Funk
Jr. Dory Funk Jr.'s got stroke face.
He's got dead papaw body.
Yeah. He's like Jim Ross. He got the palsy.
Oh, God. So number 45, Jeff Hardy. I think that they're fucking...
does not deserve to be on the list. He's a stunt man.
I think he deserves to be on the list.
We're talking superstars.
He's a super... Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but it's just, he sold a lot of fucking merchandise. He's popular with a ton of people, but I think there's a ton of people that deserve to be on this list instead of him.
I don't know, man. I think that I got to stick up for Jeff Hardy, at least like in his WWE days, because in 99, 2000, 2001, those matches were the best matches on those pay-per-views, those TLC matches.
But I regret liking them, but he does deserve, he paid his dues, he got titles. There's girls in the audience crying over him. How much has that happened for Ron Bass or Butch Reed?
Yeah.
Never. He's over.
And they call him the Charismatic Enigma, which is a gay name, but it's exactly what he is. I mean, he's got charisma. People just love him. Like, he's creative. And
he has seizures every time he comes up in the curtain.
But one of the guys that inspired Jeff Hardy is not even on the fucking list, and that's Ultimate Warrior.
We're going to talk about Ultimate Warrior.
can I say something real quick?
It pisses me off. I'm sorry.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
An Enigma sounds like a racial slur over the internet.
Enigma?
I fucked up. I thought it was going to be funny. like email, I thought Enigma. I hate...
Enigma. Somebody else, though, number 44. Nick Bockwinkle does not belong on his fucking list.
No, he would. Older than the fucking heels.
Okay, he would belong on a list if it was decisively WWE. I'm confused. He was good on the mic, and, dude, watch his match with fucking Kurt Hennig. It's amazing, and he's, like, fit borderline 50.
I don't see it, though. I mean, like, I understand he's a good wrestler. He had good matches in AWA, or I think he was mainly in the AWA. But, like, of all the guys that I can think of, I just don't see him making that list.
Yeah, that's, I agree, because, like, this is not the, you know, the top wrestlers of all time. This is superstars, and he was just not, he's not a superstar.
He was a good heel. I mean, his heel work, I thought, was good. But, you know, I mean, this is a guy, I was, like, okay, if I was, I was 6 years old the last time he might have laced boots up. In 1987 against Kurt Hennig was, like, one of his last matches?
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? So I'd be a liar if I was to say I was, like, growing up watching this guy. But
right.
Because
when you name off a list of, like, wrestlers, you think of people that, you know, come to mind, like, they're superstars, that are big names, in your opinion. Nick Bockwinkle.
if people were to talk about best stick men ever, top 20, absolutely. In my opinion, I mean, he might have been throwing around vocabulary words.
I think, yeah, he's too much of a papaw body for me to appreciate. He's like,
what do you mean, his build?
He just looks like just some old, I mean, of course, he was just some old fucking guy wrestling. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just, like, I don't see him. I mean, maybe wrestling, you know, if you're counting just wrestling, but, like, the total package, I don't see it. It's just my opinion.
Luger. He wasn't very marketable at all. I mean, I'm torn. Like Ronk said, great wrestler. He was, you know, the damn good heel and stuff. But, you know, and I'm torn on this list too, because we don't know. I guess when they say superstars, you know, I'm wanting to think, you know, people that's actually drew some fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see it, you know, with Fuck, I even forgot who the hell he's talking about.
and you're not even drinking, I don't think.
There you go.
We're talking about Nasty Nick Bockwinkle, brother.
Nick Bockwinkle, Dory Funk Jr., same guy.
But I mean,
Papaw.
Well, we gotta give him credit. Okay, with Vern Gagne, I would say Kurt Hennig and a couple other guys, like top five AWA guy of all time. I mean, Hogan would be an easy guy to pick, but he's a very good AWA guy.
So
for years.
Another one I don't think belongs on the list, and I don't even hate this guy. I don't think he's made any impact. Would be Kane at 43.
Well, put him on the list because of See No Evil, man. Good movie.
Kane's been in there a while. I gotta disagree because he's been there a while. I think he's made a huge impact, you know, on wrestling and stuff. You know, just with. Because he had a unique look there for a while with the whole mask thing, and now it's like, I don't know, he looks really fucking stupid now without the mask, but just like, you know, there for a while when he did was wearing the mask and the whole full body suit, just like, he was just really fucking cool looking for forever.
Hey Crater, real quick, Crater, for you being a Ring of Honor fan, I didn't think that Pyro would get you on a 50 list. I thought I made it good funny. No, I wasn't trying to bust your balls. I was trying to make a joke. I guess it's the alcohol talk. Dave Mania, go on, buddy.
No, I was just saying, you know, when Kane debuted, man, I remember that shit, dude. It was awesome.
The fuck?
I mean, you know, it was, you know, I was like early high school, and I remember watching that shit, and I remember going, you know, the next day and talking about, did you guys see Kane debut? And I still didn't get laid back then, but go on.
Well, he had a good look and everything, and it was really theatrical and all that, but, like, a lot of the matches and stuff, like, I think for a big guy, he's decent enough, but I wouldn't put him, in my opinion, in the top 50. I mean, he'd be maybe in the bottom, you know, 55, 56, something like that. I'd agree with that more.
It's a shame. I think at the height of his career, he was still on steroids, but he was, like, doing, like, kind of jumping off the top rope stuff. He was kind of athletic. But, I mean, I can't really, like, ever go over a Kane match. You know what I mean?
No. What about?
Well, I don't think he should have got 43. I think I would have probably put him, like, at 49. I would put him in Batista's spot. Because, like I said, you know, Batista does not deserve to be in this 50 at all. Like, if Kane was going to be in this, I would have put him at 49, you know, probably 49 or 50.
So
Kane, get the fuck off the list, dude.
42. Interesting to hear what you guys think about Sergeant Slaughter being 42.
Absolutely deserved
a spot.
Iraq. Dude, I mean, like, we were kids, so we're going to have a different perception. Like, that's when, like, there was no cynicism. It's like, if America was at war, I'm 11 years old, I'm like, fucking A, kill these motherfuckers. This dude's a white motherfucker sticking up for Iraq? Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein just killed him, like, what, 2 years ago? Fucking A. He has balls the size of bowling balls, and those are 8 pounds. Depending on whether or not you're a pussy.
Can
you imagine the death threats he got back then?
Oh, yeah. I think he talked about some of them on one of those Legends of Wrestling roundtables. Like, they actually had to hide he and his wife for bomb threats and stuff at their house around that time. And it was like, I loved that time period, though. 91, WWF. And it was right before, I guess, all the steroid problems and stuff they had. And then it started taking a little bit of a like after 91, I don't know if you guys remember, like they started changing the format or the formula, I guess, of WWF around that time and started pushing.
And that, not to interrupt you, but that seemed like when Hulk Hogan wasn't the guy that was always there. He was like entering in matches later. It was in tag team matches against like, Money, or what was Ted DiBiase, Money Inc., or
he and Beefcake with Jimmy Hart versus Money Inc. at that shitty WrestleMania.
I remember when, you know, after the whole Iraq thing, and they were trying to, you know, get Sergeant Slaughter, you know, back as a face. I remember the an article they had in WWF Magazine. It had Sergeant Slaughter, and it had this, like, big, like, American patriotic thing, and then I remember the cover of it said, you know, I want my country back.
Yeah.
And had this huge article about, you know, how he was sorry and all this other shit. And
I thought,
but I know after that, he really never got over with the crowd.
No, that was what I was going to mention, is like after his big heel run, which was awesome. He was definitely of that era, aside from Macho Man and maybe Andre the Giant a few years earlier. He was the best heel that I can think of for Hogan, that Hogan ever had. When he took, like, when he finally went face again, it was just like he was kind of like a glorified jobber after that.
And the bad thing when people knock Cheap Heat, don't knock Cheap Heat. That sold millions.
Yeah. And I always loved the interviews that he would do with General Adnan, and like where General Adnan would speak like Arabic or whatever, and he would like just sit there and shake his head like he knew what he was talking about and shit. It was just great.
I love Sergeant Slaughter, you know, really for one reason only, because, you know, I'm always a big wrestling fan, and one of my favorite cartoons growing up of all time was G.I. Joe, and he had his own fucking G.I. Joe action figure, and he was the first wrestler to have his G.I. Joe action figure, so.
You remember the mail-away LJN figure that they had that I think it's worth like a fucking fortune now if you got it? Like, it's like a big size of the G.I. Joe figure.
I don't think so.
You can look it up on eBay. There's probably a couple on there, and they go for like over $100. It's pretty rare.
Just to cover something, Sergeant Slaughter was a pretty big face as well, so that should give him a lot of credit. And he had major Madison Square Garden matches with Iron Sheik that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, he was,
a lot of wrestlers fans know about it, but not like regular Joes on the street.
Yeah, I think the whole G.I. Joe thing got him kicked out of WWF in like the early 80s.
And passed time on ESPN in front of 300 people.
Yeah, so it was a weird time. Moving on though, Jack Briscoe.
Fuck him.
No, yeah, I agree. Fuck him. I don't really.
I mean, we don't need, like, this is back scratching bullshit. Like, it's not a wrestling lesson. You know what? I don't care. Like, I'm not a guy that sits around and jerks off and says, "McMahon." Fuck him.
Okay.
You know what I think?
We don't need this.
Columbus did the right thing. Fuck Indians. And I'm 1/16 Cherokee. Fuck all Indians. I'll go to one of your casino resorts. I'll take a piss on it with white American and black American wrestling figures.
What about Tatanka, though?
I like Tonka. I take that back. So okay. I'm not racist.
Jack Briscoe's spot should have went to Arn Anderson.
Yeah, Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson should be like 20.
Arn Anderson's nowhere to be found.
Isn't he a fucking agent?
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on? Any guy that says I don't mean to toot my own horn, but toot toot, should be on the fucking list. I'm screaming.
So, Jack, I don't know anything really about the Briscoe brothers. I mean, everybody, like, WWE puts them over like crazy on TV whenever they talk about them. I do know that.
And for all you marks listening, just because I don't want to watch black and white footage and I grew up in 1981 on, don't get pissed off. Don't make a shitty comment. Or I'm going to fucking tell you how big of a faggot you are.
Ooh. So, Dave, you got any thoughts on Jumpin' Jack Briscoe?
I would say this has got to be the biggest puff list I've ever heard in my fucking life. I mean, seriously, I mean...
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
No, definitely not top 50. Big Show at number 40.
That guy should be dead because Hogan threw him off a fucking building after they fought each other in monster trucks.
Yeah, that was a memorable moment right there.
His entrance in St. Valentine's Day Massacre was impressive. He had a few impressive title runs. If it has to do with credibility and title runs and stature, and he gets somewhat of a pop, maybe he can be on the list, but I'm iffy on it.
I think
that's all I'll say.
He stays on the list just because of the Big Boss Man feud where Big Boss Man dragged his dead pop by coughing and shit. Like, that was...
You know what's so funny about that moment I was talking about, though, where Hogan throws him off the building? Like, they're like, after that happens, they're like, well, let's go in the ring for Tokyo Magnum versus Ultimo Dragon.
And I loved Hogan's acting during that spot, though. He goes, oh, no, dude. Oh, God, brother, what's supposed to happen like that?
Funniest fucking shit ever. If you've never seen it, go watch it on YouTube right now.
So. I remember watching that whole Big Boss Man and Big Show thing, and that was some of the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I remember I almost pissed my pants laughing at that. I mean, it was hilarious. My buddy Joe used to come over all the time. We'd always watch Raw, and then we'd watch Nitro right afterwards, you know, because it always, you know, replayed. And, God, I still remember that. And I remember we went to Judgment Day, because it was in Louisville a couple months later. And I remember making this sign that says, Big Show's a Big Nasty Bastard sign, and held it up. And I think if you actually watch the Judgment Day 99 pay-per-view, if you guys get a hold of that, I believe you can actually see the sign in the audience.
They had, didn't they have a Big Nasty Bastard shirt come out?
They did. That's what I was just thinking about. That.
Yeah, maybe they stole your idea there, Dave.
God damn it.
Do you remember when, because during that feud, Big Boss Man and Big Show's feud, when, like, he stole Big Show's, like, pocket watch that his dad gave him.
They were doing all kinds of weird shit with Big Boss Man around that time too, because like,
holy shit, because Big Boss Man like supposedly like killed Al Snow's dog too
and fed it to him.
Hey guys, may I say something?
Yeah.
Late 80s Big Boss Man's incredible. I don't care what anybody says. I thought he was fucking awesome.
I remember when I met Al Snow and I asked him what the fuck happened to that dog for real, and I was like, he goes, well, basically, I got tired of traveling with it because they just stuck me with it, and I just told him I didn't want to be with this dog anymore, so they put it in the storyline that they were going to kill it off.
So Jake the Snake at 39, which I think is bullshit.
20 higher, maybe?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to say for sure, because there's guys like Ted DiBiase, Jericho, and all them guys on here.
I think Jake the Snake is one of those guys that could have easily been a main event guy, but they never gave him the opportunity.
And it made sense, but he did business.
Yeah.
Feel that, you know, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, just because of his lifestyle.
They're waiting on him to die.
And you know what, they shouldn't, because he didn't fuck anyone's daughter or anything. I mean, the guy, okay, let's talk about in-ring, good mic skills. In-ring, okay, it's not about, like, technician. He had good psychology.
He had good presence, right? In the ring, yeah.
He got the crowd into it with his, he was the first guy that did it, that I remember as a kid, that did, like, the quick, if he did his hand signal, that meant his move was coming a second later. And guess what? Most of the time, it didn't happen. So as a fucking fan of him being a face, weren't you like, fuck?
You know what?
Did you want him to do it?
At the end of his run there in WWF, though, it did seem like they were getting ready to push him to that main event. And I don't know if it was like where he was already having issues with cocaine or whatever it was. But he just sort of abruptly left after, I think, WrestleMania 8. You didn't see him again.
But he's another guy like
WCW for a while, because he had that coal miner's glove match thing.
Yeah. He had one match in WCW, I think. That was it.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, we can all go back and watch his old NWA matches and stuff. I mean, his DVD is phenomenal. Dude. And another thing we need to say about this guy, like Ric Flair, none of us should be happy about what he goes through, because he made part of our childhood, whether we think it or not, like it's only entertainment, but he made our lives better.
Yeah,
he made life interesting for a few minutes when we were a kid.
He just I remember like the Saturday night's main event or something, where he would be like in a shower and Mean Gene would be interviewing him with the Snake, and just like they would have the light background music that would play during the beginning of the show, and he would cut his promo, And that was just gold, man. I mean, that would just get you ready for the, you know, for the Saturday night's main event or whatever. And his voice, he just had it. I mean, he was one of the best promo guys ever, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to, like, intimidate anyone was downright scary, and his mic skills was just pure genius.
Yep.
And stuff that
when Earthquake killed Damien.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Poor Damien.
What was the name of the second snake?
Lucifer.
Was it Lucifer?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, because the whole Satan thing.
Yep. Then he had the white snake, was called Revelations, I think. Was the cobra ever named? I can't remember if the cobra ever had a name.
I don't remember.
And if I can just say one, or I always talk because I'm a mouthaholic, but anyway, but Jake the Snake's promos are something adults can appreciate at a later age, because a lot of that poetic type of stuff he ran through, or, like, you know, referential stuff, it's stuff that maybe went over heads as children, you know what I mean? I just think it really resonates today.
Yeah. And I remember the, what was the one match? It was at WrestleMania with Jake the Snake and the Snake, or it might have been a SummerSlam or something, I don't remember, and Bad News Brown had his sewer rats.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the blindfold match.
Yeah, we had the blindfold match too, but, like, you remember the sewer rats that Bad News Brown had? It was just like a cage that had, like, a little tarp thing over it. You never actually saw a rat or anything. And I don't know what the deal was with the match. Like, if Bad News had won the match, did he get to put the sewer rats on Jake or what? So,
God, Bad News was great.
Moving onward to see Superstar Billy Graham from Paradise Valley.
That guy was, like, ahead of his time.
Yeah, I'd definitely put him a little higher, I think. I think he deserves a little higher than 38. I know he pissed off a lot of people in WWE, so that's probably why he's down there that low.
Okay, be born in 1950, grow up, watch blaxploitation films, do steroids, and there you go, you're Superstar Billy Graham. But he deserves to be on the list.
And he's so charismatic, you know. I mean, he really
is. I mean, he's got Superstar in his fucking name.
Yeah, that's actually where WWE Superstar came from, was Superstar Billy Graham. I don't know if you guys...
He sounded like he just talked like Dolomite. I don't know.
He was, like, ahead of his time, though, like Crater was saying. I mean, I know what he influenced Hogan. The whole look of Hogan came from Superstar Billy Graham. And I think Jesse Ventura. Yeah.
Even Dusty Rhodes promos, probably.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes copied some of Superstar's stuff. And they actually, I think they had a feud going there, but again, this, you know, Superstar Billy Graham and all that stuff was way ahead of my time. But I remember him mainly as like a manager for Don Morocco, and I always thought he had just a really unique look at that point too.
Yeah, because I never saw the blonde beard with a little bit of color in it. One thing I want to say, like, when I'm going through a list and I'm jacking off Jack Briscoe and Dory Funk, I don't really know these guys. I didn't grow up with them, but, yeah, I mean, the toilet of the list. Go down the toilet bowl or whatever. But Superstar Billy Graham is a lying piece of shit. He's I'm going to look through this list. Whatever. I called Pat Patterson a faggot. I'm just kidding. Superstar Billy Graham is a lying, manipulative piece of garbage. Fuck him.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I like his attitude recently, but
I know he I heard something, like, because I also heard Paul Orndorff did this too, like, but I heard that Superstar Billy Graham put his WWE Hall of Fame ring up on eBay, and I heard Paul Orndorff did the same thing.
I don't know about Paul Orndorff, but I definitely heard, yeah, Billy Graham did that after, I think, they put Abdul the Butcher in the Hall of Fame or something, because something about Abdul the Butcher passed Hep C on to, I don't know. It's a big, long story. But
at one time I heard Superstar was mad that they didn't have an actual hall. Didn't have a building.
Yeah.
There is an actual professional wrestling hall. Because I was telling you about that, CK, and that Macho Man and, like, the Road Warriors and all these other guys were, like, inducted into, like, years ago. I think it's in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
It's an actual museum, that they, it's just called the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame.
I think that WWE should definitely, like, put it in fucking Orlando or something where a lot of tourists are at and do a fucking Hall of Fame.
Put it in my game room.
Well, they've got all this stuff. Like, WWE's got all this stuff that they take to, like, their fan accesses, like the a lot of the old belts and the ring attire and stuff like that. Put that shit in the fucking Hall of Fame. Let everybody enjoy it, you know?
Right. Like, when we went to Access, I mean, it was so awesome because it was, just seeing all this shit that, you know, like, seeing Andre the Giant's cast. Cast when he broke his ankle.
Uh-huh.
Fighting, I think it was Killer Kowalski. I think it was. I have to go check it out. But it's just so weird. But a lot of that shit's like donated from the family.
Yeah.
Of these guys.
And I think it, like, a lot of fans, like, you know, they can't afford to go to a WrestleMania or something like that. But if they're on vacation and you know, with me especially, I don't want to, like, something like the fan access thing might not be for me because I can't stand fucking large crowds like that and shit. But if you had it open year-round at a Hall of Fame, like, you know, in a popular area for tourists and stuff, I think that it would go over well, and it would probably make them a little bit of money here and there, you know? I mean, just get, you know, like the whole WWE New York thing was a bad idea. Who's going to fucking go eat a... What was it, a Stone Cold Burger or something? Who gives a fuck?
But, put it in a Hard Rock Cafe. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, because, like every year they do when they have, like, a toy fair or some kind of Comic-Con, or I don't know what it is, but they when they have, like, this booth for, like, the Mattel booth, when they show off the new Mattel action figures that WWE's putting out every year, they bring, like, certain, like, stuff, like gear and stuff, in their display case. Like, they bring, like, the Road Warriors shoulder pads and
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that to display with their action figures and, like, Raymond, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think there's a market for that. They should definitely do that. But as far as Superstar Billy Graham, like, the list, do you think he should be higher or lower, not on the list?
I like his spot.
Be higher.
We gotta start considering the people who aren't on the list and the people who are already on the list. Yeah. I think he's in a good spot.
I think considering that they took the name WWE Superstar from Superstar Billy Graham, I think that he deserves a higher spot. Especially since Harley Race is on the fucking list.
Number 6. I agree.
Then Superstar Billy Graham should be much higher on the list.
I'd put him at least 20. I think he's 20 would be fair. Like, maybe replace him with the King, who we'll talk about real quick. We need to go through these a little quicker, I guess, or this show is going to be 4 hours long. Junkyard Dog, I say he doesn't belong on the list.
If like, for people to read books or more, like, I was talking to Ed, he was describing, like, I was talking about, CK, I talked to you about my comparison with Hacksaw Jim Duggan to him the other day, how many years of relevance he had in comparison to Junkyard Dog when it comes to WWE.
Yeah.
But I guess that just doesn't matter to people. Junkyard Dog doesn't belong on the list because of a headbutt. Now, as a kid, he was a favorite.
Yeah.
Name a memorable match.
Or name a fucking feud. Name one feud he had.
Yeah, he was a guy that, he was a circus act. He was Ron Simmons or fucking, like, Rikishi with his booty.
You don't compare him to Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons is a fucking
I think he
man.
Was more like...
I love Ron Simmons, but current Ron Simmons
more like
is what I'm trying to say.
More like Hillbilly Jim, putting Hillbilly Jim on the list or something. He didn't... He was just...
Uncle Elmer.
He was a character. He didn't really... He was a shitty wrestler. I think anybody would tell you that.
He was a draw.
I would put Coco Beware on this list before I would Junkyard Dog.
No, I disagree with that, because Coco Beware was jobber material.
Yeah, I wouldn't put either of them on there.
Yeah. But they're both better than a Special Delivery Jones.
But Coco Beware was more relevant because, you know, he had, like, a tag team with Owen Hart.
High energy.
Yeah, that lasted. Junkyard Dog was, like, the real early part of WWE success, and he was a draw in territory.
Mm-hmm.
You can read all the literature about all the shit you want. I don't give a shit, because we all know he was never a big technician. He was a cokehead or whatever. Fuck him.
Okay, what about you, Dave? You want to...
No, I mean, honestly, people, I've been drinking. I mean, he was a part of my childhood, whatever, Thump. I don't know. Ruff Ruff. DMX did his thing after him. Word is bond.
Holla.
Wow.
So,
what's the next one?
Yeah, we're on.
Is Dave still on there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
JYD's not on your top 50?
JYD. Yeah, I don't think he should even be on the list. Because like Ronk said, I remember him when I was a kid, but I can't remember anything he actually did, you know, besides, you know, pander to the kids.
He would, like, do a little dance with his legs and shit.
Yeah, I mean, but in one feud, I can't remember, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Another person that's on here, ahead of my time, I don't remember him as a wrestler, so I don't know what to say. Gorilla Monsoon, to me, as a wrestler, I wouldn't put him on there.
Yeah, no. Right, because, no. But to me, like, he's one half of the greatest commentary team of all time, him and Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Totally agree. I heard he was a monster in the ring, but that was a different era. It's harder to appreciate growing up in the steroids era.
The Buddy Rogers, the original Nature Boy, I guess. And I don't even think he was ever in the actual WWF. That was before that era. Which, I mean, he was the first Nature Boy, I guess, but, like, I don't know. I wouldn't consider him in that top 50. Just to me.
We're going into Mark territory where we have to be like, well, I heard he drew a lot of money back in fucking 1950, whatever, when my dad was fucking not old enough to jack off, so, I don't, he probably deserves it if it had to do with that superstar draw thing. I think he was the early WWE thing, right? WWF, New York territory.
I think it was maybe WWWF.
Yeah.
And he was still wrestling, like...
I get him mixed up with Gorgeous George.
Yeah. So, Buddy Rogers, yay, nay, top 50?
Nay.
I don't think.
Okay. Mick Foley and Kurt Angle are side-by-side, 33 and 34, and I think it's bullshit. Both of those guys deserve to be way higher.
Even if it's just 25, 26, it's like, don't patronize the fans.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's incredible, and Mick Foley made fucking history, injured every bone. Vader's WCW lesser card shit was amazing. I mean, the dude's in legendary Stranglemania ICP matches or whatever. Fucking
Kurt Angle is definitely top 25 talent for me. You know, there's someone else that's not even on this list that's definitely top 25, but, you know, I won't get into that.
Yeah, we're going to try to go through these a little quicker so we can talk about that, because there's a long list of people that I've got on here that should be in this top 50 list that aren't.
Dave, how do you like Kurt Angle, dude?
Kurt Angle, for me, top 10.
Top 10?
Wow. Mick Foley, top 20.
Kurt Angle's incredible. Him and Shane McMahon's one of my favorite matches of all time.
That was awesome.
Oh, the King of the Ring?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah, that's a good match.
Why did he want to have, like... If I was Shane McMahon, I'd be scared. You're with a wrestler, and you're the boss's son. And he is... They're both relentless on throwing Shane through the fucking glass, and I think it was more Kurt Angle's idea.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking insane. Well, that shows you Kurt Angle's, like, tenacity.
The thing is, too, about Kurt Angle is, like, he's one of those guys, too, that, like, he had the passion for doing, like, giving it everything he had. Like the WrestleMania 19 match with Brock Lesnar, where he was like done, you know, he was getting ready to have his neck surgery. He shouldn't have been out there, and they ended up having an amazing match, which looked like Brock Lesnar almost killed himself at the end of it.
That was an awesome match, and thank God Brock Lesnar ain't dead.
Yeah. So yeah, I think both those guys, like we all said, they deserve to be much higher. The next two, we'll just do them by twos and try to get them out of the way pretty quick. 32, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. 31, Iron Sheik.
They kind of deserve it because how much importance they had in WWE around the Hulk Hogan era. Either one of them could have been the guy. Iron Sheik never would have cut it in the fucking ring, but he was a big heel who actually had the belt. And Jimmy Snuka, I don't know if lawyers were saving his ass, because it seems like that fucking, that book is true about him almost killing a girl or killing a girl.
He did, yeah, there was a girl that died in his hotel room.
Snuka is one of my favorite legends of all time. He's one of the guys that got me into wrestling. You know, just fly, brother. I mean, yeah, I just love that guy. He's just like, I love watching that guy as a kid. And,
I had actually heard a story that, like, they were going to push Snuka. They were going to give Snuka the Hogan push, the push that Hogan got. But that was right when that shit happened, where that girl died in the hotel room or something. They found, like...
Yeah, man, he became a jobber quick.
She's a prostitute, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the whole detail, all the details behind that. But, yeah, that sort of kiboshed any kind of push he would have ever got. And
he would be, I think, and this is just mine, but, like, he'd be top 10 for me.
Wow. I mean, the jumping off the cage thing's amazing and all that. I just think,
because, like, I was really into the whole WCW cruiserweight division, you know, in the mid-90s. And I just, you know, like, Snuka was before all that, you know, way before that. And
okay.
I don't think we would have seen a lot of that stuff if it wasn't for Snuka, because he was doing all that shit before, you know, we were seeing fucking Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho.
Yeah,
he just had the one spot, and I appreciate where you're coming from with that. I can get that.
Yeah, to me, both of them, I see Snuka, I'd probably say 25. Top 25. Sheik, he's exactly where he needs to be on the list.
I don't know if I'd put Sheik on the list.
Yeah, I mean...
I just think, like, he was a transitional guy that they gave him the belt just so Hogan could beat him. And then throughout the rest of his run, like, he was either the tag team guy with Volkoff or
yeah,
just
it's like,
a jobber.
Who did he fight at WrestleMania 2? Does anybody know?
I think he was in that Battle Royal, wasn't he? Or was it a tag match? I can't remember.
It's like, I mean, he's more known for his outlandish stuff, and his pointy boots is what I think made people know him.
Yeah.
When I think of Iron Sheik now, I just think of his fucking shoot interviews, and he's like, Hulk Hogan, you fucking gay!
Aw, man!
Ryan Blair!
My favorite, though, is still the one where he's on Howard Stern, and they're bringing up the fake wrestlers. And the one with Macho Man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Calls him a Jew.
Macho Man stuck his dick through Iron Sheik's face or something, like a magazine print out of his face.
So what do you think about this, Sheik?
That was great.
Speaking of fucking gay.
Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
We got Pat Patterson and Randy Orton side by side.
Pat Patterson, you don't deserve it.
No.
I'm not going to be typical and call you a homosexual faggot queer. Get the fuck off.
Oh, God.
Dude, they put him on a list with all the bad pub they got off
you
his name.
You French Canadian homosexual wrestler.
Your penis smells like Shawn Michaels' trachea.
But he's one of those guys that's always like been a part of the
gay
company.
Sorry,
and that, I guess that's why he's on the list. But yeah, he's definitely nobody knows who the fuck Pat Patterson is.
Yeah,
just
because
you match
huge.
I mean,
Randy Orton doesn't deserve to be on the list either.
Fuck no.
So what now? You got? I mean, this is just me trying to analyze. Why do you guys feel it seemed like nobody was that against Batista, but why are you against Randy Orton in comparison?
Well, I was talking to CK about this earlier before we did the show. Like, I just feel that there was way too many, like, current WWE superstars on this list instead of all these people that could have been on the list. And, like, I mean, if they're going to put, like, people like John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Big Show, people like that on the list, why not just fucking put Kofi Kingston and Miz on there, you know?
I think
Orton has been around since 2003, right around the same era as John Cena and other guys. Now, I'm not a big mark for him, but, I mean, he seems like a pretty good in-ring technician in comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's
a lot of Stone Cold stuff here lately to me.
I think as far as the wrestler goes, though, he's probably one of the better in the ring. I just think, like, it seems to me much like Cena in a lot of ways, like, especially early on, they just seem to be forcing you upon Orton, like...
Stale? You think he's stale?
Yeah, they need to change something. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe he does deserve to be in the top 50, but I wouldn't put him that high, I guess.
Maybe Randy Orton's forcing himself on Pat Patterson.
Oh my God, I hate Pat Patterson.
So, the next two, I wouldn't put on the top 50 list either, and some people are probably going to be mad, but who gives a shit? Freddie Blassie, who's both of them were passed on, by the way, and Fabulous Moolah.
No, I don't need... No.
Moolah raped Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I'm sick of your rape accusations. Freddie Blassie...
Piper did his stand-up at Days of the Dead, and he told us himself.
But Moolah's not around to defend herself now.
Piper said when he got into the business when he was 15 that Moolah raped him in the back of a van while Mad Dog Vachon watched.
I don't even want to think of Moolah raping anybody, but yeah.
She raped Wendy Richter.
She did.
Out of a match. I'll be right back. My contact's killing me. I'm about
fuck
to cry.
You.
Okay.
We'll get raped by Pat Patterson.
Yes.
This is going to end up being the longest episode ever, but yeah, we should have prepared for that. But
now next week we do our anti-bullying campaign.
That's right. Be a star. Don't bully people. But Dave, like, did you Fabulous Moolah or Freddie Blassie? Neither one of them.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Neither one of them. And I'm not saying anything bad about them as far as, like, in-ring performers, but, I mean, I don't think they drew a dime for the company, you know, like, as far as, like, superstars go.
I always thought when I was a kid and Fabulous Moolah was still around, like, you know, 86, 87, when I was early years of me watching wrestling. To me, I was like, this is some old grandma in a fucking bathing outfit or something out there.
Yeah, so like, and she looked the same, like, in the 80s when she was, like, wrestling Wendy Richter and stuff. And then, like, she looked completely the same, like, in 98, 99, whenever it was.
She kind of did,
like,
yeah.
She was getting whipped through tables by the Dudleys.
She had mamaw body.
She did. Mamaw body.
She just looked completely the same.
The next two are two I agree with. I don't know if I agree with the spots or not. You've got Ted DiBiase, the original Million Dollar Man, and Chris Jericho, 26 and 25.
Higher on both.
Yeah, Jericho's in my top 10.
Yeah.
Mine too. And so is Million Dollar Man, actually.
I agree. Yeah, both deserve to be in there. Both.
Guys, who did I miss?
Ted DiBiase, Chris Jericho, 25 and 26.
Oh my God, Ted DiBiase is one of the best wrestlers ever. I'd have him.
He's like one of the biggest dicks ever.
Like, what do you mean by that?
We all know that's important. Oh, okay. I thought you said he had one of the biggest dicks ever.
Oh, he. Crater.
I
don't know how Crater would know that, but.
Like,
yeah.
He wouldn't even fucking look at me.
I said,
congratulations on getting to induct Hacksaw into the Hall of Fame this year, and he just, like, wouldn't even talk to me or look at me.
He was like, yeah.
I mean, if
go
he is
church.
A dick, I do think that's weird because he's, like, a big-time Christian, but you never know. The way I always look at celebrities at conventions, and some people disagree with me, you never know if they're having a bad day.
That's true.
Always just break it down
to
that.
But, you know, Virgil was there with him, and Virgil was, like, incredibly nice. Virgil was talking
to he wants a fucking autograph.
Virgil wants your money.
Virgil was talking to me about, like, fucking gumbo and shit.
Virgil. I remember one photo of Virgil at the convention completely alone and looking really bored.
He's from Pittsburgh, I think.
So, Bruno Sammartino, they got 24. And this is where the list starts getting really fucked up.
Bruno Sammartino probably deserves it, but he probably had a more boring style. And we just grew up on fucking steroid type of wrestling, man. It's harder to appreciate, man. We didn't see the Larry Zbyszko shit live.
I was getting ready to say Larry Zbyszko needed to be on this list, but Bruno Sammartino, I like his spot on the list.
Yeah, I mean, it's an okay spot. Like, he was boring. Like, I'm sure people, like, I think he was from Pittsburgh, too, wasn't he, Runk? Isn't Bruno from Pittsburgh?
Yep, him, Larry Zbyszko, and Shane Douglas and Kurt Angle are all the Pittsburgh guys, basically.
Yeah. Just a really, like, mat-based, like, humping style. Like, I don't know. I'm not into that. But, like,
Southern-shaped faggots like Pat Patterson.
What does David Mania say about Bruno was 24th?
To me, that's a good spot for him. But the thing with Bruno is that, you know, the old-timers back in the day, especially the old Italians, they fucking loved that dude.
Yeah. Well, he had a long run, too, didn't he? Like, he was champion for a long fucking time.
A long fucking time. And, I could see Bruno probably... I don't know. I'm probably a little bit higher, but, you know, just around that 20th mark.
All right. So, after that, now here's my problem. And we could probably just fucking rant and rave about every one of these. Because have you guys got the list in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
I got it right here. I don't. Let me pull it up real quick.
Okay. Well, we'll just get started talking about it. They've got Hulk Hogan as 23rd. And, a lot of people have complained about this list, too. And, like, it starts getting really shitty right around this spot. Because, like, this is a guy that built that damn company, pretty much. He and Vince McMahon.
Well, he built professional wrestling. He made it popular is what it is today, I believe.
And what we know it as.
I'm not biased about anything because, like, you can't, no matter what you think about the guy, that either you love him or you hate him, like, it's a fact, you know? Like, the guy made wrestling what it is today. He made it popular. You know, you see a picture of that fucking guy and you know who he is. Like, my mom, for example, my mom hates wrestling. She sees Hulk Hogan on TV on his Rent-A-Center commercials and she's like, oh, that's Hulk Hogan, you know? People know who that guy is. He is number one, no doubt, but he should not be where he is.
He should be number one. I mean.
If it was a fair list, hey, nobody even, the only person I would put close to him would maybe be Steve Austin. And Steve Austin didn't have the run Hogan had. I mean, Hogan, even up until the WCW years, like, he only took a break, really, from wrestling for any extended period of time was probably, 1993. He wasn't really wrestling much. I remember going to see a WCW event, a couple of them. There was one in Huntington, or maybe it's Charleston or something. There was another one that I actually went to while I was on vacation in California. Hogan, the NWO era Hogan, one of the loudest fucking ovations I ever heard in my life. And this was Hogan when he was fucking in his 40s wrestling. You know.
The crazy thing about Hogan is he didn't rotate his main event slot for a definite 7 years.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened? A guy goes 7 years in a row, main fucking attraction, no doubt. Full storyline revolving around WrestleMania. And then he goes to WrestleMania and headlines with The Rock. The guy built wrestling. His AWA legacy is persona beyond wrestling. He should definitely be number one. Over Ric Flair? I mean, we can talk technique.
No doubt. No doubt. I wouldn't... I don't think there's anybody that you could...
The Rock left too early, and wrestling would have fell off by the time Rock hit his 7-year period. I think Rock did a 6-year period.
Dude, and everybody talks about how legendary the match is, and you've got Andre the Giant at number 8, which I can understand. I mean, he's a legendary figure in the business and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That match at WrestleMania was what it was, and, you know, a lot of people like it, hate it, whatever. It was what it was because of Hogan. Andre couldn't do shit. If you watch that match again, Like, the only thing Andre could do was basically fall down when he was supposed to. I mean, he could take a fall, you know. So I think it's an insult, actually. 23rd, you got the biggest star the business has ever had, you know.
Todd Grisham even says on the DVD, he's like, I didn't choose this. He goes, there's a lot of controversy over this, blah, 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 you know. Like, so even he goes, I cannot believe we're even getting to this guy right now, you know. So, like, he even pretty much going to piss people off.
Yeah, and it did. I mean, you shouldn't be surprised, I don't guess, but, like, to me, even if he's in another company, you would still at least put him in the top five, I would think, even, you know, kayfabing it a little bit for the fact that he's in TNA or whatever now.
Same.
So, but, I mean, above some of the people they've got above Hogan, and this way we can go through it a little quicker, some of the people that I wouldn't even put on the list, Lou Fez.
Terry Funk.
Yeah, Terry Funk.
Terry Funk, I would put in my top 25.
Terry Funk would be on the list. I don't think he's above Hogan.
Yeah, I don't know if he's even top 25 to me because, I mean, just think about from 1981 on, like, wrestling this shit or watching wrestling. I don't know if he'd, like, really make top 25, but he was pretty cool to watch. He's a great guy in the mic in a different way.
But you gotta look at Terry Funk. Like, his promos were, I mean, genius. I mean, the guy defined hardcore wrestling before there was ECW. Or any of that stuff. You know, the guy, he's an amazing worker. Yeah.
Dave, what were you about to say?
Oh, I'd say Terry Funk, for me, 40-ish. Around the 40th mark. Definitely, I don't know, I just don't see it top 20. I don't think he really did anything hardly too much. I mean, he did Chainsaw Charlie back in the 90s.
Yeah, that's what's confusing. Like, yeah, if you're going by shit that happened in WWE, like, why in the fuck is Jerry Lawler even on the list?
Yeah, he's a fucking Memphis guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess if you're just going by stuff in WWE, but, like, on this, you know, on the DVD, though, like, when they show, like, the footage and stuff, you know, it's not footage from just stuff that happened in WWE. They show stuff from AWA, WCW.
I guess where they don't want to use the word wrestling, like they just use the greatest superstars, you know, whatever they call it, the top 50 superstars.
Doesn't it make you scratch your head? Because doesn't guys like Barry Windham and Arn Anderson and shit work in WWE? It's like, why aren't they getting their backs scratched?
Who knows? I mean, it's a big political thing.
Lou Fez? Hey, Lou Fez. Shit and die.
He's already dead.
I'm glad. Just kidding.
He was in WWF.
Everything I know about him is the Fez Press. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, dude, I appreciate what you did, but guess what? Are people talking about Run DMC every day? Is Gucci Mane out there talking about him? No.
I know I want to skip around a little bit because, like I said, we're running a little long, and I can't really go over 3 hours, so I'm hoping we don't. Okay, you got Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes tied at 17. This is another problem I have. On top of fucking Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan and everybody else we've talked about, fucking John Cena.
Retarded. John Cena, I mean, he's a guy that has the spot, so what can you say? Is he any of our favorite technician? And now he's so generic, he would never make a top list of mine. And if you look back, it's like the whole rapping thing, which he's good at, so dated. So it's kind of hard to, like, even put him on the fucking list, but I guess he deserves it.
It's so sickening, though. Like, when I was watching this DVD for the first time, and then you see Dusty Rhodes, and you see Ric Flair, they're tied at 17, and, you know, you see just two people that you love so much in the wrestling business that you grew up watching, and then, like, right after they show both of these guys, they show a guy you hate so much in the wrestling business.
Exactly.
Well, it's not the fact that you hate him. I mean, the thing is, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, how many legendary moments... Like, over the span of, like, Dusty Rhodes wrestled for, like, 20 years. Flair's been fucking wrestling for like 40 years now, I guess, or something.
Flair's going to die in the ring. Yeah. So.
And like all the stuff that they've done, and then just because Flair, I guess, is not with the company, you're going to, I just don't see it. John Cena, like, I'm not a huge Cena fan, but I don't have a problem with him, but like, there's no way. I'd put him in the top 50 maybe, just to fucking save face. Maybe I'd put him in like the late 30s, 40 range.
Right.
But, no way.
Yeah. Even Edge is a better wrestler at 19. I'd put Edge above John Cena just because of in-ring work, being a champion, and having the TLC matches. More interesting career.
Yeah.
Retiring on his own terms. Interesting career.
Yep. So you got 14, 15, Randy Savage and Curt Hennig. Those guys both belong on there to me.
Nice numbers, but, Hennig, nice number. Come on, Savage.
Savage
yeah.
is top five.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would say Savage. Man. Yeah, Savage deserves higher. I think, maybe Curt Hennig deserves a little higher, too. I mean, he was one of those guys that they could have pushed a main event. They did a couple of times for, like, TV shows and shit.
But against Hogan in, like, a Saturday's Night main
yeah,
event.
Yeah, but they never really did much with him.
He was so good against jobbers. He would fuck their faces up. Did you ever see the footage of him on his DVD when the video camera would pan up to him like roughing up the jobber?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He was so stiff. I bet jobbers hated Curt Hennig. And
so Gorgeous George from like the fucking 30s or 40s or something like that.
Yeah,
they got him. 14.
I have no opinion on that. Me
was
either.
He even WWF?
No, this was before, like, this was, like, Capital Wrestling or whatever the hell it was way back
then.
Could you
guys tell me how his footage seemed on DVD? Because I didn't see the DVD. This was
when, like, John Waters was talking about him and stuff.
Yeah, okay, John Waters is a homosexual with a weird mustache.
Yeah. The,
Maybe Pat Patterson called him up to be on the DVD.
Sorry, I'm just kidding. I actually like John Waters movies. Cecil B. DeMille is one of my favorites. So.
Next one after Gorgeous George. Hey, Gorgeous George is not in the fucking top 50 either.
Yeah, get the fuck out, George. Get the fuck out.
Triple H, I agree with Triple H around number 12. I think that's, maybe top 20, I would say.
I'd put him in the 40s. I've never been a...
I still think Triple H put this list together, and I think to not make people suspicious, he put himself at number 12.
I mean, guys, how many matches does he ruin? And how interesting is a sledgehammer? Get the fuck off the list, Triple H.
I think that
I would say about Triple H, though, I mean, it's like...
I am game, ma!
I am the game!
Spit some water.
Every time
fuck
he wrestles,
you,
though,
faggot.
He does a really, really, really good job of like putting over his opponents. I mean, for the most part. I mean, even when he had that fucking huge title run where it was just like, oh my god, I'm so tired of fucking Triple H, you know.
Yeah.
Being on top. I mean, he had some pretty fucking good epic ass fucking matches.
I think he's one of the smartest guys too. Like, I mean. You know, Crater hates him for the main reason that he married the boss's daughter, and now he's forever going to be involved.
Well, he's like fucking Politics City right there.
Well, man,
know?
that's part of it. I mean, Hogan was the same way. I mean, he didn't fuck Stephanie, but like,
I mean, he's a shoe-in for getting anything he wants right there. He's like, he just goes and fucks. Stephanie's like, oh, now I can go do whatever I want now. Like, you know?
Stephanie doesn't...
I'm very sorry.
Stephanie doesn't look too bad, man. If I was in his shoes, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, he gets to help run the company, and he gets his dick wet. I mean, come on.
And he still had the best match in WrestleMania last year.
What I'll say about him is... He's good
is that really how you want to do it, though? Like, if you become a professional wrestler, is that how you want to, like...
Well, Crater, let me explain. Crater, I mean, he did pay his dues. He got trained by a serious guy. He went to WWE in, what, 95 or 96? he didn't marry Stephanie to what, like 2000 or 99 or 98 or whatever. And he's decent enough on the mic. It's just some things turned me off. Like when he had that match with Booker T and he beat him, I think it was a WrestleMania. Just the way he like got hurt, but he did his move and he rolled over like 30 seconds or 20 seconds later and got a 1-2-3. I thought it was bullshit. It's always turned me off. But I actually think he's a likable guy when he's like in the ring just being funny instead of cutting a promo.
You know,
like his current role.
I think that in the end, like, he does do what's right for business and a few occasions. I mean, look at the WrestleMania 20 match. Of course, the guy we can't really talk about, or WWE doesn't talk about, Chris Benoit, who was the one that tapped his move like a little bitch. It was Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was WrestleMania 20? Jesus Christ.
I think it was 20.
Yeah, 20.
So 18 was... Was that 17, Rock and Hogan?
That was 18.
Eighteen.
Yeah, that was an awesome fucking match, though, man.
But yeah. I don't know. It's just it's stupid, I think, because, you know, when they did the whole, like, curtain call thing at Madison Square Garden when Hall and Nash was leaving to go to WCW, and then the one member of the clique that got punished was Triple H, and then, like, just, you know, after years later, after that, he just somehow found a way to hook up with Stephanie. So he's like, "Oh, here's my chance. I better
hey, baby."
It. I mean, but so, none of us know that. I mean, Crater. I mean, if you work, you can work at a Ponderosa, and a guy, a busboy, is going to bang a waitress. You know, it's people in the workplace.
Who knows? I mean,
up.
If Triple H hadn't hooked up with Stephanie, he may be working at a Ponderosa right now.
That could be true.
No, but what we have to say, we all know he's good enough to be a relevant professional wrestler.
Yeah, like I said, I'd put him in top 20, no doubt. Crater won't agree, but whatever. Eddie Guerrero at 11 and Rowdy Roddy Piper at 10. I agree with both of those spots.
Eddie Guerrero's in my top 10. Definitely. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
I'm not arguing with those, so I agree with those.
Yeah, right there. That's why I picked both of them.
I agree, and even if Benoit was alive, I'd pick Eddie Guerrero over him.
Yeah.
Because of the charisma.
Oh,
factor.
Yeah, for sure. Andre the Giant, number 8. Rey Mysterio, number 9.
I don't agree with Mysterio. I love Mysterio's like early work in WCW. I don't like him so much now that he's like Rey Mysterio.
I love it.
But you know, he's I loved him in WCW, and he was doing all kinds of crazy shit then. And like, I hate his little fucking baggy pants and shit now.
You don't like the hip-hop lifestyle, whatever it is.
I think he hung out with Conan too much or some shit.
Hey, you're gonna toss my salad and peel my potato.
Do you guys remember the No Limit Soldier press conference in WCW?
Fuck.
That was one of the worst things, because he was like, I love your positive message that you guys spread out. I mean, I heard a song with Master P said, I'll stick my dick in your dog. Like, no joke, he said that shit.
Rey Mysterio just doesn't deserve that spot whatsoever, especially because, you know, he's above Macho Man, Hogan, Flair, Dusty Rhodes, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, how did Vince McMahon, it's like, I thought Piper left on decent terms, it was like back and forth business relationship with WWE, so how does Rey Mysterio get that above him? I guess it's mask sales.
Yeah, they have to put some of the...
Which,
yeah, that is kind of weird. It was
Malenko's idea to put the mask back on Mysterio when he came into WWE.
Dane's a smart fella.
Dean Malenko should be getting some fucking credit for that, because, you know, that shit's selling.
So, another one that I don't agree with is Ricky Steamboat. Like, okay... This is if it's all of wrestling, I would kind of agree. But WWE, Ricky Steamboat, I mean, he was not even there long enough, really. I mean, like, unless you consider the dragon suit thing, but he didn't even have any feuds when he came back in like 91 or whatever.
What was it, 86 to 89? He was there, or 86 to 88, or 85 to 88?
it was like a it was a brief period of time, and he only had the feud with Macho Man that I can remember.
And Jake the Snake injuring him.
The thing is, I don't think they are considering this just WWE stuff.
Well, obviously.
You know, and I think Steamboat, is, I think that's a perfect spot for him right there. But I think, you know, there should, there obviously, you know, like Hogan and Macho Man, people should be above him on this list. But I think number 7 would be a perfect spot for Steamboat.
Yeah, I think, I agree with Crater. If they're going by as far as like wrestling and stuff goes or just overall, yeah, that's perfect for him. But if it's WWE stuff, you know, then he needs to be a little bit further down the list.
He's actually underrated on the mic, though.
Yeah,
they never really let him talk.
Yeah,
never gave him
I mean, like, if you watched any of his stuff, like, especially when Jake the Snake fucked his forehead up.
And you got Harley Race, which I don't think any of us agree with him being in it that high
yeah,
up. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Triple H.
Yeah, Triple H is a big fan of him.
Yeah, Triple H just won't put him on there.
Harley Race, like, I think a lot of people like love him because like, he's supposedly a legit badass or something.
He did amazing.
Yeah, and like his some of his promos are pretty hilarious. Like he would talk. Well, when we get in that ring, I'm basically going to rip your fucking head off and shit down your neck. And then I'm not here to be entertaining. I'm a wrestler, you know.
I just loved when he managed Vader. Like I think someone mentioned that earlier when he managed Vader, and that was just my memories of Harley Race.
Yeah, he's putting him top 6 is fucking ridiculous, though. Come on, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, just because he had, I mean, I guess maybe it's him having an NWA title right before Ric Flair had it in the early 80s or whatever. He had it
7 years, wasn't it? Something like that. It was a while, wasn't it?
Mm.
How long did the Race have the belt?
He had it for, yeah, it was a long period at like one time. I don't know how many times he had it, but.
At least he at least got the feud with Hogan. It was like little scene. But did he lose to King Haku? How did he lose his crown?
I think he lost to Hacksaw Duggan, wasn't it?
Then Haku probably beat Duggan.
Yeah, like nobody really gave a fuck about whatever the hell that was anyway.
King Haku.
Haku's underrated, dude.
Haku, that's mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haku's supposed to be the baddest dude in wrestling. All time.
So the top 5 after that, you've got The Rock, you've got Bret the Hitman Hart, you've got Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels. And you can't, you know, you can go back and forth. All these guys, the top 5 is all legendary, you know, performers, I guess, or whatever they call them, sports entertainers now.
You want to know what the hilarity is? That they're all based in the 90s. And I know the late 90s were hot, but for how bad the mid-90s were, it's like crazy that this is the top 5.
Yeah, I agree. I remember, I actually stopped watching WWF around 95. It got so bad around that time, like, I think what turned me off from it is the time that, I think this was late 94 when Bob Backlund beat Bret Hart for the belt, and I fucking hated Bob Backlund to death, and I just pretty much quit watching it after that.
He was such a badass heel, though. He's such a loose cannon idiot. I loved him.
But
I loved to hate him, I mean. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't. But WWF around that time was, yeah, pretty bad to watch, and all those guys were kind of around that time period.
Can't you see the politics in this list where even The Rock at 5? Okay, The Rock at 5. The Rock's over Shawn Michaels in my book.
Yeah, he was definitely a bigger draw than Shawn Michaels.
Oh, Shawn Michaels' relevance in wrestling? Relevance in wrestling, yes. But The Rock was a bigger total package than Shawn Michaels.
I would put Shawn Michaels at number 5, actually.
And I think Steve Austin was bigger than The Rock. You know, at that point as well. I mean,
I think Steve Austin, in my opinion, you know, would be number 2, right behind Hogan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Steve Austin's number 2 and number 4.
The way I want to explain something real quick is The Rock's like some frat guy asshole that might like tick you off. You just don't even want to be around him. Like, say, if he was like acting like that character to you, but Steve Austin's like he can, like, tear you a new asshole, and you probably still want to be friends with that guy.
Uh-huh.
But you want that guy on your side. Like, he's like someone's dad. Like, the way he talks. I love that dude.
But, yeah, I mean, Michaels, like, as number one, he was around, like, he was mainly champion in a dead period, like, for WWF. And that's why I think it's, I mean, he was the number one guy then, there was no doubt, at that point in time. But 96, 97.
Took time off and all that.
The WrestleMania, after, like, right after he took his time off from the injury or whatever, around 98, is when it really started to explode, the popularity in the company. And the guy's excellent in the ring. I just don't, there's no way he's number one. I would agree with you guys, I'd put him top 10. I don't even know if he'd be top 5 superstar. If you're talking actual in-ring wrestler, he might be number one, but I don't see him, I see Hogan definite number one.
Like I said, Shawn Michaels, like, as far as superstar goes, I think he was on, you know, the level of popularity. Well, I think he's a lot popular than Jeff Hardy, but I think Shawn Michaels, I would put him at number 5, like I said.
The thing about Shawn Michaels, I can't recall a T-shirt.
Yeah,
I can't recall a Shawn Michaels T-shirt. It's like,
I guess
to me, it's
the DX shirt would be the original DX shirt.
In 96, there was these shirts. They're like full print shirt, like the full like T-shirt print shirts. They had like a an image that went down the entire shirt that had like his picture on it and all these like designs of like broken hearts and stuff. I don't know if you remember those.
It was a female shirt.
A what?
It was for females.
No.
Oh.
And even the Undertaker, I think the Undertaker has to do with personal taste.
Yeah.
He's been around for so long, he definitely deserves, but I think everything else to this list, there's so many legends, like, throughout the years. People can pick and choose.
Yeah.
So, like, Undertaker could be at, like, a 7-8 kind of guy.
I'd put him top 10 for sure, just because he's been over for so long. And
he still how he approved his WrestleMania match.
I would probably put Undertaker at number 10.
Yeah. But I guess now's the time, since we got a few minutes left, talk about some of the fuckers that they left out totally from this list. It's actually, like, I was looking through and I was amazed that some of these people weren't on here for a few reasons. Actually, like, I don't know if a lot of this list is politics and stuff like that. Like, I guess we can, I don't know if you guys have a list of people that aren't included, but I know me and Crater both came up with
what you guys got to say.
Well, let's go, Crater. What, name me your number one guy that didn't include.
My number one guy?
Yeah.
Well, for obvious reasons, Benoit.
Okay. And I can understand why they didn't put Benoit on there. Had he not murdered his son and his wife, he would be on the list, no doubt.
Yeah, maybe just his wife. They would have been like, well, women talk stupid, but kids are stupid.
Yeah.
Say not. I'm sorry.
poor little boy. But I can understand why I didn't put him on the list, though. I mean, I'm not going to complain too much about that.
Unless his ghost comes back and blows Pat Patterson, I don't think it's been
I hope he ain't talking about his kid blowing Pat Patterson.
That's wrong.
But, you know.
Time heals.
Ultimate Warriors, another one, too. Goldberg.
Fuck yeah. Oh, Goldberg,
yeah.
Brock Lesnar, come on, man. These guys should all be on.
Another, like, the tag teams weren't included. Legion of Doom weren't on there.
Yeah.
Demolition,
Or Demolition, or the Nasty Boys.
Well, I wouldn't put the Nasty Boys on there.
Fuck, I would.
What about...
Crater likes fat guys with bald armpits.
One that's kind of surprised me, because they always put him over, usually when it comes to legends and stuff, is Honky Tonk Man. He wasn't on there.
Yeah,
Honky Tonk.
That's right, he wasn't. Honky Tonk Man is amazing.
Yeah.
He was a good heat great heel.
And if they're going to put Classy Freddy Blassie on there, why not put Jim Cornette on there?
I think Classy Freddy Blassie was a wrestler back in the 40s or something. That's probably what they were going for. I don't know.
It's fucking retarded. It's like, dude, guys, don't be out of touch.
Well, there's so many people, though. Like Scott Hall, Razor Ramon on there.
Yeah. Razor Ramon
Kevin Nash or Scott Hall is not on there. I mean, they put Harley Race on the list, but they didn't put the guy that managed on there. Fucking Vader's not on the list.
Could I explain why Kevin Nash should be on it now that you guys bring that up?
What was that?
Winning the title, the NWO angle alone, and the fact that he can show up on WWE television today, he kind of deserves that superstar status.
Well, another one that I definitely would put on there, even though he wasn't in the Federation very long, but just a unique character, and definitely for his size, was amazing. Probably one of the best big guys ever. Yokozuna, he wasn't on the list.
Yeah, I thought you was going to say Bam Bam Bigelow.
Well, he's another one.
Wow, Bam Bam. He was awesome, but his WWE reign. What were you saying, Craig?
Bam Bam was so colorful, such a colorful character. You know, a guy for his size, you know, great athlete, you know, doing fucking cartwheels in the ring and shit.
Dude, where the fuck's Vader, dude? What the fuck?
Vader. I mean,
okay,
Vader's,
you did say.
Like, yeah, I mean, I said because you know, like, got Harley Race on there, but they didn't get the guy that he managed, you know, Vader, and that's bullshit because Vader is amazing.
Here's the amazing thing about their politics. It's like all these other guys can make it. Oh, we'll drop Hogan and Ric Flair and all the shit, but it's like, oh, but we'll leave Sting off because he's never been here. All these other guys, but when Sting clocks, Sting seems like a class act, normal guy. It's like, fucking put him on the list.
But I think, you know, they left Owen Hart off because, you know, they can't really put him on, I guess, any of the DVDs or anything because of some kind of legal thing with their family, I guess. But why leave British Bulldog off the list?
That's what I was getting ready to say. British Bulldog, even Jim Neville Neidhart, I don't think he should be like high on the list, but I think he needs to be in the top 50 just for his personality-wise.
Whoa, I wouldn't, I mean, top 10 tag teams, Hart Foundation easily, but with how many single superstars are in the history of wrestling, I don't know about Anvil, man.
Or Brian Pillman.
I don't know. But this list is so weird.
Let me just pose a question here. Brian, would you choose Brian Pillman or Nick Bockwinkle?
Nick Bockwinkle. actually, Pillman was good on the mic, dude. I really like his mic skills. When it comes to Pillman in his prime... Him, but I mean, Nick Bockwinkle did his thug thizzle, nigga.
What about that? let's see. Yeah, what about Brian Pillman and Dory Funk Jr.?
Yeah, I'd put Pillman in there.
Yeah, Pillman, he's awesome too, man.
Christian isn't on the list.
That's weird. When did they make this list? Like,
it was late last year, I think, when the DVD came out.
Because he's becoming the best heel in the company. I mean, his heel work, to be frank, with the material he's given on television product, is better than CM Punk's. I'm not joking.
Yeah, you could definitely take Lou Thesz's old ass off and put Christian on there.
Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam's not on there.
Yeah, well, I forgot about... Yeah, because we were talking about that earlier, CK, about like Rob Van Dam should be on there.
I hate Rob Van Dam.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Because he doesn't look like he's having a real match. He looks like he's punching wind. He punches wind and does back. Like, he won't punch you in the face, but he'll kick a chair in your face. Fuck him. Go smoke a joint.
How about Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff?
He will, too. He will go smoke a joint.
No, I mean, but I like him a lot, but I mean, I would never put him in my top 10 or any bullshit, or top 20.
What about Paul Orndorff?
Incredible. That's all I'll say.
What about Dean Malenko? I keep talking about this motherfucker.
I mean, Chris, or, Prater. Crater, whatever. Fucking compare Paul Orndorff in that package, and then open up Dean Malenko for Christmas. If I got Dean Malenko for Christmas, I'd fucking sell my ass in the street at 5 years old.
Paul Orndorff, and I know, like me and Runk really like fucking jack off over Paul Orndorff. It seems like on this show,
it's incredible.
I don't know if there have been any other characters as like him since he was out, because he was just like stuck up like gym guy that was making fun of how everybody looked and stuff like that. Nobody's ever really, like, I guess the closest thing that ever come of that was shitty was fucking Simon Dean or something, but he just like didn't have that swagger about him.
Rick Rude was like that, but not as angry.
Yeah.
And intense.
Another person that didn't have is Lex Luger.
That's true.
Lex Luger's great, man. I mean, not a technician, but I mean, his total body of a career and how he turned his life around. I mean, I'm not a big Christian guy, but I like that he's not, like, fucking dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's nice.
What about Sid, Psycho Sid?
In, like, the 50 area. He
should have put him in the top 50.
Yeah, I'd put him definitely over Killer Kowalski. I mean,
are we not talking about softball? top 50 softball stars?
I think, when they first brought him in the WWF in, like, late 91, whatever it was, that they, I don't know if they were really trying, like, if they had the plan to turn him heel at the time or whatever, but it seemed like he was really, really, really getting over at that time, and, like, they just kind of kiboshed it a little bit. I don't know, turned him heel.
What about Ron Simmons? Farouk.
First black champion, man. That was major.
Yeah.
Damn.
I don't know. I don't know about Ron Simmons.
It's tough because
Booker T. What up, Booker T?
Would Ahmed Johnson be on the list?
Did we talk about Booker T? He's a black champion that was popular.
Booker T deserves to be on the list. Bottom line.
Yep.
Take all these old.
Booker T does deserve to be on the list.
Because he was, like, unique. He had the big stature, but did the side swipe kick and, like, a few variations of original moves.
Since you bring up Booker T, what do you think about Scott Steiner?
No.
Oh, my God, but Scott Steiner, as a Steiner brother, and how innovative?
Maybe as Steiner brothers, maybe.
Crater, you're
talking
about.
He just sucks ass as, like, a single. He's too fucking roided up.
Yeah,
but
when
controversial that Scott Steiner was, like, you know, in WCW, and then when he came over into WWE, and, like, all those, like, great promos, and just, like, the fucking crazy shit he did.
All those great matches he had.
I mean, it's just, I don't
did
know.
Did you see all those shitty matches?
It's memorable to me, but, like,
I always thought, man, I liked Steiner when they were the Steiner brothers, but, like, the later years, he can't do anything.
Yeah, he's a little insane, too. Diamond Dallas Page, how about him?
Yeah, he wasn't on there.
If we're talking about overall wrestling, then yeah, definitely.
I would put him in the top 50.
He had the best veneers.
His wife had the best titties.
Oh, God.
WWE work was like,
I turned a piece of paper pretty crumply.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was saying his WWE work, I wasn't a big fan of his, like, you know, he was doing the whole motivational speaker, and he was, like, stalking Undertaker's wife and stuff.
It's true that WWE buries people, but, Dave.
Yo.
Do you got any missing motherfuckers? Do you got any wrestlers that you think should have been put on?
I pretty much said everybody I said, like, Lex Luger, and, I don't know, man. It's just like, it's just one of the things you just have to, seeing some of these people that had made the list, like, you know, like some of the Funks, and, you know, we talked about Killer Kowalski, and there's so many people you can put on there. It's just, like, Buddy Rogers.
The list is always, like, that's the thing. I mean, there's going to be people that would be pissed off regardless of who's on it. But still, I mean, this is just such a politically motivated list. Especially the fact that Hogan is fucking 23. Come on. I mean, maybe, I can understand maybe top five or something. You've got to put him in at least the top five to be, for it to be even halfway legit. Yeah.
There's some black guy in Chicago like, man, I wish Kamala was up in this motherfucker.
I'd put Kamala on there before I'd put, like, fucking Junkyard Dog or something. He's been in more feuds than Junkyard Dog.
Did we mention Arn Anderson?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Top 20. I mean, I hate to say that, like, after we try to compile our own list, that, like, it'd be difficult. But, I mean, he's good on the stick. Unique build. Not enough years.
And baby doll, baby. Woo!
What? Taz! Taz ECW.
Yeah, but they didn't put any ECW guys on there. Really.
Yeah.
And that should be appreciated because...
You know what, too, man? Like, the Eliminators was a fucking amazing tag team.
Cronus is amazingly dead.
Yeah. And Saturn is almost there.
But no, yeah, he's kind of a... God, was he awesome, though.
Yeah.
In WCW, I loved him.
But that is the 50 superstars. It took long enough, I know.
It's a long-ass show.
This is a long fucking show. It's almost 3 o'clock in the morn.
3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. My penis is about 3 inches.
So, yeah. Is there anything else we need to mention on here? Anybody else got anything to talk
about? I'm glad we breezed through everything. I mean, I'm sure we forgot something, but I thought we were pretty fair about stuff. I mean, we kind of knocked old people, but what do people expect? I mean, we grew up on different stuff.
Did we mention
people don't like
Slater's...
it? They go puff on. Oh, I'm sorry, Kerry. Go ahead.
I said, did we mention that Heath Slater is a rapist?
I think we did.
It's so funny how he says that. He's like, a rapist? It's like, I can't even imitate it.
Yeah. Heath Slater's a natural redhead.
Dave, what were you about to say, bro? I know you're about to say,
if people that don't like it, don't like our opinions, then they can go puff on Pat Patterson's dick. I mean.
Alright. And by the way, guys, I'm a big advocate to the homosexual community. You can stir your cum in a shake and drink it up.
He has his GLAD membership card in his wallet.
Right.
So, yeah, everybody. Also, we wanted to tell people if they wanted to ask questions. We'll start taking questions and stuff when we do the next show and whenever that show might be. I don't know if we're going to keep it every week or every other week or what. I don't think we have a plan for that. I don't know.
Dude, the fucked up thing about this week is that we did an hour before we got to our main show. But that's a good thing that we can bullshit that long, don't you think?
I know. Well, there was a lot of interesting stuff that happened, I guess, too, though, in the week. Like, every week's not going to be like that, I don't guess. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, ask questions on the Facebook page or the YouTube page, wherever you can get, and we'll answer them every once in a while or something.
Hey, CK, do you mind if I just do one real quick? I know we're doing this long. The Ultimate Warrior thing with Hogan, it's like, Ultimate Warrior is so insane, but he's so telling, it's hard to tell about the stuff with Hogan. Do I think that they had an open relationship? The 80s was crazy, it's possible, but Ultimate Warrior is kind of a proven liar as well.
Oh,
that's all I want to say about that, because somebody asked that question.
Oh, regarding the,
The realism.
I think both of those guys are fucking nuts.
Hogan's trying to do the better thing, but Hogan's in delusional, like, do you ever see his Facebook post, like, is everybody having a positive day? It's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
When I saw the Finding Hulk Hogan thing that they had on A&E or whatever, and Hogan was they were doing like a reenactment of him contemplating suicide and sticking a gun in his mouth and shit, I was like, God, this fucking guy's fucking retarded. You know, so I don't believe a word that guy says from now on. I mean, I just can't.
Did he put the gun in his mouth, himself?
Yeah, as himself. Put the gun in his mouth, staring into the mirror or something like that.
All right. Next. Fuck him. Yeah. But he's number one on the list, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, the stuff he does now, you can't really... I think all these wrestlers would be better off without Twitter and shit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, I appreciate it. And that is the end of the episode. So, we'll see you guys. What are we going to do for the next show, whenever we do it? Somebody want to pick a topic or something?
Danny Doring, Appreciation Week.
That sounds like a good one.
Dastard, you guys have anything?
Dastardly Danny and Roadkill.
The Amish Warrior.
The rise and fall. The rise and fall of Roadkill.
'80s tag teams would be a good one. I just came up with that. I don't know.
Well,
it could be a good like 40-minute show.
We'll think of something for sure. Everybody else is gone, Runk.
So yeah, what the fuck happened with
those?
It's
just me and you.
Did they think that the show like ended?
I don't know. I can try to call them back.
Is the show over?
No, not really.
We got to end show because the show's over.
That is weird that they both left though, like at the same fucking time.
Yeah, they're probably like, we quit.
They're probably like, this shit's running too long. It's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
I will try to call them back just so we can properly end the show.
Are you going to edit this?
No, I'm not going to edit it. That's what a podcast is.
We got to keep talking. Dude, I got this nasty-ass sweat on my balls.
I'm
Yeah, we lost both of you guys. I don't know if you just hung up or what. They're like, oh, it's too fucking late. But we wanted to end it proper and actually, like, I guess we'll let one of you guys... Like, whatever we cover next, like, what do you want to talk about? What would be your...
I was going to say maybe something to do with WCW. Yeah, I'd like to do something like the rise and fall of WCW, something like that. You know,
yeah.
what they did.
Like, our own version of, like, their DVD fucking sucked. So
it
we
did
can do our own version of how, you know, WCW, like, we don't have to cover, like, the, you know, the main, like, how WCW formed and stuff, you know, like,
right.
You get the real early stuff, and we can just get, like, we can do, like, 90s or whatever.
Yeah, we can maybe do from Nitro to the end or something.
That sounds
whatever,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. It's something different. And, Runk, you were watching wrestling around that time, too, weren't you?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, I was watching. I was a loyalist at WCW. Sometimes I liked Nitro better than Raw, even at their worst times.
Cool. So that will be what we cover. And like I said, people that want to write in questions and whatever else, we might make that a part of the... Because this is just really like I said, I'm not editing this shit. It's not going to be like the Dead Pit Show. This is going to be just free, you know, ranting, I guess, on wrestling and stuff like that, because that's what's fun to do.
Yep.
And join our live chats on Mondays too for Raw or on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
Retro Wrestling Night.
Yeah, the Retro Wrestling Night Facebook. Search for it on Facebook. We'll probably do the SmackDown one too, since SmackDown's live.
We'll do the SmackDown one, but we do like one every Monday, live chat every Monday during Raw on the Facebook page. Yeah, they're really fun. The one this past Monday really fucking blew up. We had, like, I don't know how many comments. People were, like, just
chatting. Yeah, like almost,
away.
Like, 150 or something different comments. It's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
So, anyway, guys, that's it for the show. Appreciate you listening. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Crater.
I'm David Mania.
And I'm the legendary Runk.
And we all...
this is The Foe.
The Four.
Yeah.